AAA release, a new series of issues. Assassin's Creed Unity release, and gamers are both amused and annoyed at player trapping bugs, multiplayer issues, and an array of visual glitches. We'll have much more, as well as your comments and calls, so keep your face on and stay tuned for the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 575 for this November the 16th of 2014. Joining you over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with me. My name's Rob Roberts, and joining me as always are my co-hosts. Say hello over there to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Nom nom.
How are you doing?
I'm satisfied.
Yes. We went on a lunch date earlier.
Yes. With the Lady Victoria.
Yes. For those of you that know Horde House, there's one of my co-hosts over there. We call him Grandpa because he's been playing or was playing Warcraft since vanilla, a very long time. So we call him Grandpa. So his quote-unquote wife, which he's actually a gay man, so it's, you know, his fruit fly, flame dame. I don't know. What are the terms that have... I know a lot of women that hang out with gay men do not like the... blank hag. They don't like that one anymore. So whatever that is, that's what she is to Grandpa. So we call her Grandma. Although that's not really, I mean, I don't know. I feel like in that situation, she's more like when Anna Nicole Smith married the rich tycoon guy. She's more like that. So I think that's what it is.
So she's Anna.
Yes, she's Anna. So we went to
Genghis
lunch.
Kitchen.
Yes, Mongolian barbecue with Anna Banana.
Yeah. So. It was yummy.
Good times. And then you brought leftovers to make my whole house smell like Mongolian.
I have a lot of leftovers, and I must say I've finally given up on the whatever low carb crap thing mm-hmm. I was doing before, and I've just said fuck it, mm-hmm. and I'm eating whatever I want to, mm-hmm. and I dropped 3 pounds.
You're on the fuck it diet.
I'm on it.
I'm gonna eat it.
I don't care anymore.
It's a happy way of living.
I have a lot less stress. And apparently I'm happy with everything else going on, so fuck it. I'm going to play DDR.
Awesome. All right. Nothing wrong with incorporating a little exercise into the fuck it diet. Clearly over on the fuck it diet, chomping out on his McDonald's fries over there, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
It was just, they're the only people that could give me food. I was late today because I had to put away laundry because the stupid dryer took too long.
Are you saying that laundry is more important than OLR?
No, I don't agree that it is, but, you know.
The wife might feel differently.
She might disagree that, you know, her clothes are wrinkled and stuff, so I had to hang everything up. And then I was like, crap, you know, I'm like, not that hungry, so I'll just go to McDonald's. And thankfully, they're busy, so that means that the fries are pretty good, so that was good. And then, I'm kind of on the fuck it diet, too, because with the cafes at work now, it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'll bring in stuff, but I'm like, no, they make such delicious food. What, you make your own barbecue? Oh my god, it's so good.
So you started the new job now. So you don't work in gaming distribution anymore, unfortunately.
No, I don't
but
work
not
in
doesn't
game
mean you don't have friends that, you know, can hook you up.
Yeah.
But so I'm glad to see you got settled pretty quick, all things considered.
Yeah.
Good for you. You were mentioning before the show to me that you've been playing a lot of games this week, and we'll get into the details when we get into how was your gaming week, but you found that now that your PlayStation 4 is back and working, you're catching up on everything, or what happened?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I've been playing lots of stuff. I even went through and just kind of checking out some of the PlayStation Plus games and that kind of thing. As I was mentioning too, though, I've been noticing that I've been buying a lot more things digitally, which is kind of weird. I never thought that I would be doing that, but like it's just... For me, it seems to be pretty, like, by the time I go and take something back, like, say if I'm going to, I'm not going to really sell it on eBay anymore because it's kind of a hassle. It's easy when I have, like, a mail room at work and I could just, you know, put it together and just give it to the mail person and, you know, send it off, you know, whereas now I would have to go to the post office or I'd have to go drop it off in a UPS box or something like that. It's a pain in the ass. So I'm not really selling stuff on eBay and... You know, to take something back to like GameStop or something like that, it's not, you don't really get a ton of money. So I've been doing a lot of, not, I don't know, not a lot. I bought like Call of Duty, and Grand Theft Auto digitally. Mainly those two. Well, Call of Duty I wanted digitally because I wanted the PlayStation 3 version as well so I can play with my friends that don't have a PlayStation 4 yet. And then Grand Theft Auto, just because it didn't really matter. I wasn't going to sell that game back anyways. And it was, you know, I got a little bit more stuff with it. Plus, since I spent over $100 on PlayStation Network, they kicked me back $15. You know, that was a thing that they had during the month of October.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not still super into the buying things digitally. You know, I like to have the physical copy of things because I can sell it back and it does have that value.
Yeah,
But I do find that I will, it's not to say, oh, I never buy games digitally. No, I found that I will get sucked into it usually when there's like a really good deal or something, which of course. Mm-hmm. Steam sales, or you know, any digital distribution channel really sales,
and they've been
can
doing
be very
even like yeah, the Games of Gold convincing. Stuff. They or not Games of Gold, but like the PlayStation Network stuff where they'll have stuff on sale.
Yeah,
sometimes that's actually really good. Like
I bought Hatsune Miku that way.
Yeah, I was gonna buy Lego Marvel Super Heroes. I saw that. I was like, I don't really play like the Lego games, but maybe that's something my son would like. And I kind of hesitated, and I didn't buy it. It was like $20.
I hate to say it. Sorry, Lego fans. It was probably for the best you didn't. I didn't really care for it. I did buy it. I didn't really care for it.
Julian is addicted to those Lego games.
I played way more Injustice.
I did buy it, though. Yeah. I did end up picking it up.
Oh, did you?
I bought it digitally because I looked at with the $15 I had on there, which expires in December. Honestly, it would have been cheaper than buying it used, so I just went ahead and picked it up digitally.
Running the chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And if you do happen to be participating with our show live, you can comment, and we read them and read some of our favorite comments here on air to start a discussion in the room sometimes. And Dungeon Buster says, speaking of digital, Inquisition was a decent 24 gig download, was a nice respite from the 47 gigabyte monster that Unity is. So yeah, a lot of people getting ready for Dragon Age with the digital distribution.
I know Alan,
my partner Alan, did that. He's already got his deluxe whatever through Origin ready to go.
I'm thinking about it. I was looking at today.
Dragon Age?
The problem, yeah, Dragon. I don't really. I haven't played any of the Dragon Age games, but I mean, like they've been getting really good reviews for it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe. You know.
I tried really hard to get into the other games. They just didn't click for me.
Is
but
it,
I'm gonna give it
is
another
it gonna
go.
Be
with this
something.
New one.
That's my question. Is like, is this game gonna be something where if I haven't played Origins or two, that I'm gonna be kind of like, who are these people?
I'm being told no.
It's basically you get new batches of characters for each game, but they do have characters that continue. Like Zevrim in the first one showed up in two for a little bit, and I think he's got appearance in three.
But I'm being told that, like, yes, there is fan service for fans of the first two games, but you're not going to be, like, lost as hell if you didn't buy them. And they have that standalone catch-up thing. I forget. Somebody in chat might have to help me. Or if Shane was in the room, he'd yell it out. But there's that that Dragon Age Keep. Is that what it was called? The Keep? Something where you can actually play through the first two like stories. It's kind of like the Mass Effect comics, I guess. You play through the stories, make the key decisions, and then your save goes to Origin, which wherever you get Dragon Age will pull from Origin.
I have Origin, because I have Origins on Origin because of they were giving it out free, but I don't know. And Far Cry 4, because Far Cry 4 looks amazing too, and it's like all these games. It's so expensive.
Oh, I know. I was just talking about it with Bobby on his show before we were on air. I was like, I'm dropping $200 on games next week. Like, it's disgusting. But this next week is the biggest week because we're on the heels of Black Friday.
I ordered my game right when I got hired at Locat officially.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I paid for it already. It's one of those times I was glad that I ordered it already. But there actually is another thing that popped up that's probably going to be getting me to spend some money, and that's that this Origin has out The Sims 4 Create a Sim for free.
Oh.
So I was going to play with that because now you can drown your Sims.
Dungeon Buster, by the way, is confirming that it is the Keep, and you can check that out at DragonAgeKeep.com. Is that website.
I am going to probably wait on. I do want Far Cry 4 and maybe Dragon Age just because, you know, everybody's going to be playing it and stuff, but I'm. I don't know. I'm going to wait just to see if there's some Black Friday sales.
Here's my problem. I have Dragon Age Inquisition, which even though I didn't even really super play the first one, my roommate and my partner are super into Dragon Age, and they're both, you know, especially Shane.
Well, how many players can you do co-op?
Huh?
How many players can you do co-op?
I don't know, but it's not cross-platform, so think carefully about which platform you're going to buy it on.
Well, I'm getting a PlayStation 4 if I get it.
Yeah, I probably will too, and that's where Shane has it too. But then Alan and Jamie are going to be on PC, so it's going to depend on, yeah.
It's tough.
Well, but I figure Alan and I can always switch. I can always play on his account if I really want to play with PC people. He can play on my PS4 if there's somebody he wants to play with there. So anyway, where was I? Not just Dragon Age. Okay, so next week we also have Little Big Planet 3, which I don't want to get lost in the shuffle. I realize that may not be getting the fanfare of the other Little
Honestly,
Big Planet titles.
I'm going to hold off on that one just because
I dug it at E3, and I love those games. I've been playing that stupid iPhone runner, of all things, the Little Big Planet one. I've been playing that a lot more than I would care to admit, actually. So I'm actually really excited about Little Big Planet 3, which I realize is kind of... It's strangely enough somehow not really the AAA title next week. I mean, I realize it is Sony's big, big title, but it is getting, you know, a lot of the attention is focused on Dragon Age and Super Smash Bros. Wii U, which is that other game I have to pick up. And, of course, I can't pick that up and not get at least one or two or three of those amiibos.
So which ones are you getting?
I decided to get Samus, because Samus. And I decided to get Peach, because Peach. And for the third one, I did something that you might not expect. I got Mario, which I know seems like, well, that's kind of vanilla. But that was actually the reason why I picked it up, is because I said, you know what? Like, a lot of games are going to support Mario going forward. Like, that's the one you're going to want to have. Like, I realize, you know, they're talking about only the Link one works. But we'll see how I like the three that I get. And if I want to get more, I'll get more. It doesn't seem like they're hard to get right now.
No.
I don't think those first few are going to be very hard to get.
I think it's going to be hard to get, period, because it's cool. They're fun to collect and stuff, but right now it's not like it's integral to playing a certain game, like Smash Brothers or something. You don't need them to play the game. It's not like, you know, say Skylanders or Disney Infinity or something like that, where you actually play as those characters in the game. So I think that they're just not going to... I don't think they're going to fly off shelves. I mean, people pick them up for sure, yeah, but...
Kaijudo in our chat says, only new game that's doing it for me this month is Pokemon. That's about it. Yeah, that's... I kind of had to bump that. Like, I'm out of money now. I can't get Pokemon right now. I'll wait and see how it's being received. I'm sure I'll hear all about it from Shane.
I'm sure, yeah, Shane will pick it up.
Of course. Let's see, what else is there? There's Grand Theft Auto 5, which you were telling me I have to get, but then you're like, oh, we could share play it. So I'll probably do that. So, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to totally stream that game once I get it. You know, get a chance to play it, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, lots and lots of stuff to look forward to next week. Let's get into tonight's kickoff topic, though. I want to talk about this week, and there's a story from this week that literally everyone is talking about. So let's throw our hat into the ring, and let's see what you guys in chat think about this. Loki, why don't you tell us what's going on?
Okay, so Ubisoft released a game, the latest game in their Assassin's Creed franchise. And, of course, this time they released a little, you know, two games. They had one on, you know, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and then one on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. That one being Assassin's Creed Unity had some problems. There was all sorts of glitches. There were, seriously, some, I don't know, texture draw issues where it would not really draw the face of people. It would just kind of have the mouth and eyes and kind of make them look like, was it, is that from like the Body Snatchers or something
like
that?
Some of those characters look like Super Meat Boy rendered in 3D, honestly. It
was all messed up.
And of course, now that joke is I'm sure you've heard this joke 500 times, so here's 501. Well, it looks like Ubisoft really couldn't render women or men.
apparently even having issues, I remember reading issues with it running on high-end PCs, even if it was AMD chips or something, ATI mm-hmm. cards and stuff. It just wouldn't be able to run very well. I guess it's not ATI anymore, it's AMD. But, pretty bad. And they've released, I think, already a couple updates, but still hasn't fixed everything.
This is really tricky because, you know, some of the things I'm hearing from the – and just disclosure, I haven't played the game, and I don't think my co-hosts have either. So, you know, yes, we're talking out our butt a little bit on something that everybody online is talking about. But it's a very interesting lesson in a way of – maybe you should watch what you're spending your money on before you actually spend the money. Because there's even some fans of Assassin's Creed that I know on Facebook are like, this game's a mess. This game is an absolute mess. But I'm also hearing that...
I don't like this.
I'm also hearing that it kind of sucks when you're a fan of the series because deep down in there somewhere, there's a good story. Like, the backbone and the skeleton of the Assassin's Creed. There's a good Assassin's Creed game in here. Someone took it out of the oven before it was done. Sounds like it was just badly managed. Badly managed.
I liked how it was. They said, they had Arn, you know, falling through the ground, crashing when joining a co-op session, getting stuck in hay carts. That was kind of funny. Frame rate issues, graphical and collision issues, matchmaking co-op issues, Helix credit issues, which I don't know what the fuck that is. I hope that's not like in-app purchases or some shit like that. Because I thought I heard that this game had that. Or it was one of these games that just came out where they can, you can speed up progression by buying stuff.
Ugh.
I don't know if that's the Helix credits or what that is, but
Then the whole thing where like there's chests in the game that you can't open unless you have the smartphone app. Like,
oh yes, I did see that.
How can you possibly justify that to? That's a good thing for gamers because you know there's going to be that freaking press release that comes out like, well, this is what gamers want based
or
on
like,
some.
Or the one that was like, yeah, they'll be registered on like their website or something like that, or they open like some other chest. And
it's this is really getting to the point where it's really ridiculous. And you know, again, I know there's fans of Assassin's Creed out there somewhere that are probably pissed that this is happening to their franchise, but this is. I mean, this is kind of a tough lesson learned in regards to management and where the people up here are getting involved with a game that maybe they have no business getting involved with, sadly.
They're just – it's they're going the route of EA kind of and just really – and remember, we had problems even with the last, you know, Ubisoft game that was a big release. Watch Dogs had issues on PC. There's a whole controversy about, oh, hey, there, you know, is being shown and, you know, better fidelity for the E3 demos, and this wasn't the case, and all that stuff was hidden in there or disabled or something like that, and just a whole bunch of, you know, saying that it was glitchy and stuff. And this isn't the first game they have coming out this month. I mean, they've got The Crew next week as well, so that's an online-focused game, so hopefully that doesn't get all fucked up.
Kaijudo in chat says, I don't think we should blame people for buying it day one. You buying, you should expect it to work. Well,
no, I agree.
Let's talk about this part a little bit because, you know, Twitter this week, for the first time in several months, we are actually having a chat about ethics and game journalism all over this week because of the infamous embargo that was on this game and the fact that many sites were embargoed on their reviews of Assassin's Creed Unity until noon the day the game was out. And Ubisoft's perspective was, well, we need to make sure people actually are exposed to the online component because online is such an important part of the game. But in reality, with as glitchy as some of the stuff was showing to be, a lot of people kind of already had their reviews done. And I know a lot of outlets out there now kind of do like, they kind of do living, breathing reviews where, you know, if they can't review the online component right away, they'll amend or issue an addendum to their review later on or whatever to incorporate that in. But the bottom line is, once all these issues kind of came to light, this started to feel like maybe this is a really shady way for Ubisoft to not get the word out there for the day one buyers that the game might be broken.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's been some outlets that have straight out come out and said, never again. Like, you know, and I know we've razzed this site in the past sometimes, but Kotaku, I have to applaud them this week because they came out and they put their foot down and they said, we will no longer agree to post-release embargoes. And I have to applaud that. It's their right to do that. And I think it's going to take a lot of these big websites coming out and pushing back against the publishers. If only all of these big websites had a way to communicate with each other behind the scenes, like a mailing list or something. Anyway, so all these big websites are going to have to start pushing back and basically saying we're not going to play by these rules because these rules are anti-consumer. And that's what's going to have to happen for things to change.
Yeah, but see, then what's going to happen is if they do play by their rules or whatever, then they get an exclusive preview or whatever they can do that drives in more traffic to their website.
Which is also bull, and that's where we as the users have to stop buying into that shit where, you know...
Ethics.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to, you know, and to go back to the big question about ethics in game journalism, that has to come on both sides. You have to support ethical websites as well as the websites have to, you know, do things ethically. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Pow in chat says, same with Sonic. Journalists didn't get review copies because Sega didn't want that. Yeah, let's not
They know
that.
This stuff. It's not like they don't know the state their game is going out in.
Yeah.
They play test this shit. They know. There's no way that, oh, we never had any of these glitches when we were testing it. That's a bunch of shit.
Here's where the Wii U kind of bubbling under the PS4 and the Xbox One, here's where the Wii U being in that position kind of did a favor this week, because not as many people talking about Sonic, although it is, to be fair, Sonic Boom is in a very similar situation where a lot of people that have been playing it are saying it's crap.
Granted, the Sonic Boom, the bar wasn't as high as Assassin's Creed.
Exactly.
It's quite low.
That's true. A lot of people kind of go into Sonic games these days with tempered expectations.
But still,
but Assassin's Creed was so good, people pre-ordered this new one on the heels of the last Assassin's Creed.
But still, though, Sonic Boom still managed a limbo underneath that bar of quality that they had there. I don't know. Poor Sonic.
Tiger Claw in chat says, I think the only risk is the site's getting blacklisted, but I read Ubisoft is changing their policies behind it. Well, Ubisoft's under a lot of pressure right now. Ubisoft had to come out. Didn't they start like a blog about here is how we're fixing the game, basically? Like, they're wearing a lot of egg right now. They're really having to kind of make amends to their fan base. They let a lot of the Assassin's Creed fans down. And, you know, maybe there's some Assassin's Creed fans out there who feel differently that might email us and say, Rob, the game's not as bad as Twitter's making it out to be. And if you do feel that way, please, I want to hear from you guys. But right now, everything I'm hearing is it's a technical, glitchy nightmare, and Ubisoft does have to respond to how they've let people down who trusted them with money, with a pre-order.
See, that's the only thing. It's like, that's where I would say... that's hard to say, because, you know, digital pre-orders you can't cancel. Mm-hmm. You know, once you pre-order digitally,
yes, you can.
Well, it's not easy to cancel. Let's put it that way.
Yes, it was.
Well, how'd you do it? You have to call Sony and do that whole thing, or whoever it is.
Origin Microsoft? Made it really easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I ordered my Dragon Age and messed up on it,
mm-hmm.
because I used the wrong card.
Mm.
It took me maybe 3 minutes to cancel the order.
Okay.
Get my refund. And then order it the proper way.
Well, Origin even has the money back thing, though, with, you know, even if you did download it. Let's say, you know, this game was an EA game. It came out and stuff. And fucked up.
Why did they have to do that?
Because of SimCity.
So now it's going to be interesting to see how is Ubisoft going to make it right for some of their games.
Oh, I don't know. Let's put more Uplay features in there, because are there really any Uplay features that... I haven't played enough, I guess, Ubisoft games, but I haven't noticed any sort of reason the need you play.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, I've always accepted that some minor glitches and patches were needed because of my PC history, but the whole day one patching thing feels as if it's conditioning people to accept that the product they're getting will already be broken in some way.
No, hold on. I got to stop the day one patch thing. Day one patching is good, because you know what day one patching means? Day one patching means that after the game has been pressed and is gold, that they're actually still bug fixing after the fact. And that's what that is that there's a time between when the game is gold and is being pressed to when it comes out, a few weeks. So day one patches I have no problem with.
Okay, but devil's advocate, I have to ask this. Then why is the game going gold when it still has bugs in it? Why is that acceptable?
Well, it's usually beyond, I wouldn't say Assassin's Creed exactly is a good example of that. I'm talking about, like, additional bugs that maybe are not so overt,
okay,
you know, like that.
Maybe Dragon Age Inquisition might be an example, because Dragon Age did get bumped back a month for mysterious reasons, and now the game is out early, the embargo's already up for it. 9.5, 10 out of 10,
yes,
5
exactly.
stars, getting
and
great
this
reviews.
Is what needs to happen is, you know, delaying games so that... EA kind of figured it out with, well, they stumbled through it a few times, but they figured it out with Battlefield 4. They're like, we can't let something like that happen again. Hopefully, giving them the benefit of the doubt right now. And so, that's why they delayed Battlefield, Hardline, and they delayed Dragon Age Inquisition. I think NBA Live was okay this year. I don't know. I don't play basketball games, but I haven't heard any tons of complaints about it.
EA's been having a pretty good year, all things considered.
So, I mean, I think hopefully they've learned their lesson. And judging by the reviews of Dragon Age Inquisition, it sounds like it. A Hardline hopefully will get good reviews.
Well, BioWare does a lot of quality stuff.
Yes,
I might be a little biased, but BioWare does a lot of quality stuff. So of course,
let's wait until Battlefield Hardline comes out. Hopefully that'll be better than Battlefield 4 was.
Let's see. Going to chat. Warrior Bob says, I don't mind day one patches if they're genuinely finding or fixing new issues, but I have to admit, I really like not having to worry about that, which is why I buy like 90% of my games from GOG, good old games, or flea markets. And YYR is saying, the reason why this stuff happens, because it has to come out next week. Dude, management and some of the ways these games have become so bloated in the way that they're developed, it's really starting to wreck things. And I think, unfortunately, what you're seeing here with Assassin's Creed and Sonic Boom and Battlefield, and this is starting to come to a climax here, where things in the gaming industry have already been a little volatile for other shenanigans for the past couple months. And now this happens, and it's just like, oh my God, this has to fucking change. So... joining us here in studio tonight, he's been in and out over the past few months. We always appreciate him stopping by and saying hello. From the big anime game room, say hello to Jonas.
Hello, you guys.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
So you've been listening to us debate a little bit about the Assassin's Creed Unity fiasco. Surely you've been following what's going on. What do you think about the whole mess?
So far, it's right now it's really a tough situation on Ubisoft. I can't really answer the questions since I have actually worked in the game industry before,
mm-hmm.
and actually work at a company like Intel,
mm-hmm.
that does like all this validation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just from a general point of perspective. Sometimes marketing, that's again, back to marketing, has to push the game out at the specific time based on investments.
Because at the end of the day, it's about making the investors happy.
Correct.
Well, Ubisoft investors are not happy right now.
So, yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah.
So this is why, day one patches, it's totally acceptable because they're trying to fix something that might be considered critical before the consumer sees it. Let's say I play something that has a critical bug. That never, for some reason didn't get catched, or for some reason passed validation during development. Like if I play and I see a huge glitch and they said they're fixing it, okay, I'm gonna be happy as a customer that day one actually happened with the fix. Sure, maybe like version 1.1, version 1.2, who knows? But yeah, Ubisoft, the situation with Ubisoft is a really gray line situation, which I need to know more details of what goes behind the scenes.
Well, we're going to feel the effects of this week over the next few years. I mean, and it's not just Assassin's Creed. It's Sonic. It's also World of Warcraft. We're going to get into that a little later in the show, but World of Warcraft launched an expansion, and they had a lot of technical glitches that harken back to when the original game came out.
And not even that. Halo the Master Chief Collection. Multiplayer server issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of gamers out there that are just fucking fed up with a lot of this.
Yeah. In addition to like Assassin's Creed, sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm fine.
In addition to Assassin's Creed, this is probably one of Ubisoft's biggest challenges to pretty much make amends for the customers and their fan base. For Sonic Boom, this isn't the first time this has happened. I think everyone remembers what happened with Sonic 06.
Yeah. Let's not talk about Sonic 06.
but it's just an example. Like, if it happens once, okay, maybe the people may forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But if it happens constantly, then the customers...
You're right. Because what's happened with this... And you can argue... I mean, there might be an Assassin's Creed fan out there listening that's like, Rob, you're wrong. It's not that bad. The internet's blowing it up. But this is going to be a hard point to dispute. What is – perception is everything out there right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so the headlines – I mean the BBC ran a story about the bugs in Assassin's Creed. So at the end of the day, the perception out there is Assassin's Creed is a buggy game. So what is the ultimate impact of this going to be? If there is an Assassin's Creed 2015, the pre-orders are going to be impacted next year because people are going to stop and go, maybe I want to wait for the reviews before I pre-order the game this time. After
and
what
I
happened.
I wouldn't even say it's as far as that goes. I mean, look at the kind of stuff that Ubisoft is pushing as quality products. I mean, Watch Dogs had issues, and that was a big tentpole title for them. You know, Assassin's Creed's having issues now. The Crew's going to be coming out very shortly, so let's see if that has issues. And then there's The Division that's supposed to be coming out, I think, next year at some point. If all of these, especially these online-focused games that are going to have server issues, like The Crew, I'm worried about that. I mean, that one, if the servers are all fucked up, then you can't play the game. Assassin's Creed, I don't know if it's such a big deal.
Another interesting perspective here. Alan Alchemy in chat says, BioWare pushing Dragon Age Inquisition by 5 weeks in July probably wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for the Mass Effect 3 mess and them knowing that far ahead that they need more time. If it was August, September, Activision probably wouldn't let them bump it. BioWare has a lot of social capital to spend regarding, do you want another Mass Effect 3 on your hands? Now Ubisoft gets to say, do you want another Unity on your hands going forward? Interesting that's what it takes. But I really feel like what's happened this month, essentially, with not just one game, but the one game that's become a symbol for several games, is this impact's going to be felt a year from now. We're going to be, like, next E3, we will see things because of what happened this week.
I had a question, though, because I'm not playing Assassin's Creed, so I don't really know, and I was also looking up something else here real quick. But were these issues mainly on PC or was this like on console as well?
All of them.
Okay. And speaking of, I was kind of curious. I'm like, well, Assassin's Creed Unity didn't do that great. Wonder what Rogue.
Well, and interesting you bring that up because I want to make sure that did get brought up at some point is because, you know, a lot of people don't even know. There was a second Assassin's Creed game that came out last week. And one reason people don't know that is because they didn't give the early copies to anybody. It was not, there wasn't an embargo or anything. They just flat out didn't send it out until the day it came out because Rogue is the quote-unquote last-gen release. It's the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 release. But what I'm hearing, again, haven't played it. I can only go off of, you know, everything that I try to absorb during the week, just like many of you. I'm hearing it's not a bad game at all. It's, well, you know, that's the experience people expected. You know what I mean?
The reviews aren't that great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, keep in mind, I'm going off of gamers on Twitter, but generally it's better than Unity right now. That's for sure.
It's probably not as buggy because it's running in the same engine as the game last year, but right. I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm trying to see real quick. We'll see what
Dungeon Buster in chat says, Rogue is really fun if you loved Black Flag. Pow in chat says, I love Assassin's Creed. That's why I'm frustrated. So
yeah, it was like they're getting about, along the average, about the same sort of reviews.
Black Wolf is talking about The Crew, saying one thing I noticed in The Crew beta is that the single player was still playable if you couldn't connect fully to their servers.
Oh, good. See, because I was worried that was like more of an MMO type thing where, you know, you have to play that. I'm cool with it. Hey, if as long as they have single player not hindered by the fact that you can't connect to the server, fine by me. It's an inconvenience, yes, but it's not like I'm not going to be as mad as, like, say, if it was Destiny or something where they're going to be, you know, like, example, they're going to be shutting down the servers, I think, for a few hours, and, you know, you can't play it during that time. It's fucking useless. So I'm glad that it's not impacted totally by server outage problems.
All right. Well, again, I think we'll be talking about the events of this week for a long time, and we welcome your feedback. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com, or many of you have been participating in chat. We do have a lot of other news to get to in our gaming week, so I do want to move on with the show. But before we get into our gaming weeks, since Jonas is here, let me catch up with you a little bit. How was Reno? You did your teabagger. You took your show on the road to Reno, right? And you did a convention up there. How'd that go?
Actually, turned out pretty well.
Yeah?
Surprisingly, this is actually unusual. There was actually, I think it was Mario Kart and Smash Bros. Had the same amount of people in participants.
Hmm.
Like, wait, Mario Kart is really starting to get popular.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, the new Smash Brothers also isn't out yet, but you know, I'm sure that'll level set some things when that comes out. But well, now you have the Mario Kart DLC, and that's gonna, you know, that's gonna make Mario Kart kind of last even longer. I think a lot of people turned on Mario Kart 8 this week who hadn't touched it in a couple months. I'm one of them. I hadn't played in a couple months, but I was like, oh, I got to check out those.
Oh, wait, for the Game of the Year edition. and a Wii U. They don't have a Wii U.
The inevitable Game of the Year edition next year that has it all bundled together. Oh, I'm sure that'll be a thing. We laugh, but it will. So everything went well for you guys in Reno?
Yeah, SnafuCon was actually pretty fun. It's 24/7 like game room and stuff. So like,
okay. Ooh, is that hard to do 24 hours?
I think his mic's off. You might check that.
Oops.
Oh no.
Oops. Anyway, SnafuCon's 24/7 gaming. It's actually not bad because, yeah, I think it's like 1,000 plus people, but not as much as big as FanimeCon or those other cons. But nevertheless, the community there is really nice and it was manageable. Meeting up with Greenlight Gaming and other communities like the Reno Smash community and stuff.
Gotcha. Let's see. What else I want to ask you about? Recently, this has nothing to do with the Anime Game Room, but it's something I want to ask you about. There was a large Pump It Up competition that you participated in, and my understanding is you did pretty fucking awesome. What happened?
I got second place of the U.S. Championships.
So where were the U.S. Championships at?
It was in Los Angeles.
So you went all the way to Los Angeles to participate in Pump It Up Freestyle?
Yep.
And you got second place?
Yep.
Get the fuck out. That's amazing. Good job.
I'm surprised myself. I'm like, holy shit.
Can we see the video online somewhere?
I'm uploading the videos online. Again, everybody, I know it's going to take a while. I'm trying to upload it on YouTube at 60 frames a second at 1080p.
Oh, okay.
Because YouTube actually allows you to do 60 frames a second videos now.
Like the super high def stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congrats to you. What song did you do?
Actually, I'll just stay tuned for YouTube to find out.
Oh, you. All right.
Sorry.
So what did you get? Did you win something for second place, or was it like a winner takes all sort of thing?
No, I got some prizes supported by Endemir, like shirts and all that other stuff.
Woo-hoo.
But if it was a World Pump Festival, on the other hand, if the World Pump Festival occurred that specific year, I would have been guaranteed a World Championship offer.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you get to, because you're at least like top three, do you get to go to Korea or something and participate in the world there?
There has not been an announcement of a World Pump Festival Championships yet.
Okay.
But if it's announced, top two of any division, whether it's women's speed, men's speed, or freestyle, are eligible to go to wherever the country that they hold the World Pump Festival for free, which includes like paid flights, paid food, paid hotels and stuff.
Well, look at you. We're in the presence of pump royalty right now. That's amazing.
And good on the CM Punk thing.
Oh, thank you.
The pose, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, stay tuned for the videos.
All right.
I'm sorry if we're not getting the videos up on time, but...
All right. Well, you can't come here on this program and not have something to promote. So now you got to get it up because the podcasters are going to go looking for it, wanting to see it. So, all right.
Again, I'll post it up soon.
All right. Sounds good. I hope you do get to participate in a world finals. That's crazy. Good. How much prep did it take you to do something like that?
This one took me a while because I'll be honest. Last year, I actually competed really tired and sleepy and stuff and unprepared. This time, I actually came in more prepared and with more sleep.
Good. Sleep is important. Sleep is very, very important.
And with new ideas. Mm-hmm. Yes. New freestyle ideas I don't think I've ever seen before.
Oh, well, look at you. Chatters want to know, where's your YouTube channel so we can find the thing when it's posted?
You can go, if you go to YouTube, just research on TBAGR Space Gaming.
Okay.
Or TBAGR Space Media, because it's the same name, which is...
You mean an underscore?
You can go to YouTube, just type in Teabagger.
Well, hopefully they've all liked the Teabagger page on Facebook by now, and they will be able to see it on there. So that's the best way to do it, right?
With 404 likes, so hopefully.
Sounds good. Well, congrats. That's so awesome that you of second place in the United States for Pump It Up. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Congrats. How much do you still play that game like every week? And
Surprisingly, I came back at like last year because, okay, I'll try one more time since before I get too old for competitions to actually compete in the finals for US as a lifetime.
Do they have an age cap or is it just like you just?
There's no age cap.
Okay, so I could compete if I wanted
yes.
to. Fuck yeah.
I mean, like, for example, this one Mexican male speeder who was actually 35 and got second place last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 35 years old.
Way to rep the 30-somethings. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm gonna be the first 40-year-old to win a freestyle competition.
Awesome. So
break my hip live on stage. Watch. All right. That's awesome. Actually, that does remind me. Wasn't there like a DDR routine way back in the day where some dude was on crutches and got up on the DDR machine on crutches and he like threw him to the side like he wasn't really injured the whole time? So I swear to God that was a thing.
I've seen someone do. I saw a video a long time ago of someone doing Paranoia with crutches, but they didn't throw them away. They actually
did it with crutches. Might be confusing.
That might be the one.
It's been a long time, y'all. Been a long time. Somebody in chat will know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, congrats. Of course, Jonas will be staying with us throughout the show to comment on the news as we get to things. But let's talk about our gaming weeks and what types of video games you have been playing this week, Dark Sakura.
I've been playing Hatoful Boyfriend because I'm still live streaming it, which after the week of Thanksgiving, my schedule will change, so my streaming day will change. But for right now, I'm still streaming on Tuesdays roughly between 4:30 and 6, you know, is when I'll start, and then it's about an hour. I have three endings left to do of the regular game, and then I have the Hurtful Boyfriend path. Other than that, I'm also playing Final Fantasy 14, and I don't know, thinking about going to play some other stuff. I just haven't decided, but I've got Dragon Age on Monday, so you'll never hear from me again. Yay, Dragon Age. And lots of Bust a Move, because there's a new version on iOS. Okay.
All right. Let's see, this week I actually played some stuff. I played more Call of Duty. And I think I'm up to level 19 now on multiplayer. And then I played, what else? A little bit more Infamous Second Son. It's still kind of okay with it. I don't know. I'm starting to like it a little bit more as playing through the game. Some of the mini game, or like not mini games, but little missions in there are kind of dumb. I don't like how you can kind of do collateral damage to pedestrians and it counts against you. Because I'm not. It's like, listen, you had me do that move, and it's supposed to destroy all this stuff. I can't help it if I kill a few innocent people along the way. It's not like I'm trying to do that. But I don't know. It's pretty fun. And then I played a little bit of Lego Marvel Super Heroes, played the demo kiosk for the Xbox One that had that on there. And so I played that with my son a little bit, and he's kind of interested in it. It's pretty cool looking. The song that they have, though, they have a song that's on, I'm assuming it's both the digital version and the disc version when you pop in the game. You know how, like, if you're navigating through stuff on PlayStation, little cross-media bar thing, that it'll play kind of music sometimes? It's got, like, some, I don't even know what it is. It sounds like an old song about, like, Marvel. But it's just, like, so weird. It, like, it fits, but it's just kind of silly. I didn't even know what it was. But so that's kind of cool. And what else did I play? I played Binding of Isaac Rebirth a little bit. So I didn't make it very far. I only played it for maybe 20 minutes. But I got down to the second basement and kind of played through that. It was kind of fun. It's kind of a silly game. And then I tried a little bit of Pixelcat and didn't really get into that too much.
Boo, because that game is awesome.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really get into Binding of Isaac Rebirth. I played it a little bit on PC when it was first out, and I tried to play it again on PS4, and I'm not feeling it, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know.
I hate to knock indie titles like that, but I just, some people, like, Extrovert's obsessed with it, so, that's cool.
Yeah. And then, what else? Oh, more Ninja Bots. We've got two controllers now, so I was playing a little bit of that with Josh, and so that's pretty cool. And then, what else did I do? I think that's it. I think that's all I've played. But Grand Theft Auto next week.
That's right.
It's already downloaded.
Getting ready.
I can't wait.
All right, my gaming week. I played more Final Fantasy 14, of course, because, MMOs. I've been really tempted to go back to WoW, but so far I've resisted. And that's because people are seeming to really love this new expansion. When they can get into the game, which, a lot of that settled down over the weekend, but they're seeming to really love the expansion. So I don't know. I'm teetering on the fence. But right now I'm like, all right, look. I got like three console games to buy next week. One MMO is more than enough right now. If I try to get into a second MMO, none of these console games are going to get played, and I can't have that. So we'll see. But anyway, I am still continuing on with Final Fantasy 14. There are other online games I'm continuing to play. I still am playing Diablo 3. I was playing my seasonal hardcore character. I'm up to about Paragon 20 now on that character. And then I was also playing my regular character, my non-hardcore, non-seasonal character, just because I was like, I need to do some greater rifts because I hadn't really done a lot of that since it came out. So I wanted to try that feature a little more. So I was playing that in Diablo 3. Also been playing Heroes of the Storm, You might remember last week when I came back from BlizzCon, I was like, you know, I wasn't really feeling super energized on WoW coming out of BlizzCon, but I'm like, I've been missing out on Heroes of the Storm. I got to play more of this. So sure enough, I've been playing quite a bit more Heroes of the Storm. I really enjoy playing Lili, Vala the Demon Hunter. I even found that I really like playing Mirrodin, which I didn't think I would enjoy, but I do. So yeah, I'm shocked at some of the characters I'm finding I really enjoy playing in this game, and just that I am having fun with this MOBA game. When if you go back a year on the show, and I talked about, I really tried to get into Dota 2, you guys. I really tried to get into League of Legends, you guys, but I'm just so bad at the game. I don't know what I'm doing. Da, da, da. But I feel like Heroes, I can kind of understand it a little differently, and I think it's probably because it's toned down a little bit. It is an entry-level MOBA, and for somebody like me, that's great. Not to knock the other games. I understand why they're big, but just as an entry-level game, Heroes is really, really good. So besides those, I've also been playing Mario Kart 8 because the new DLC came out this week. I was talking earlier that, you know, if you haven't jumped into a game or if you haven't played Mario Kart 8 in a couple months, you probably put it in and checked it out this week because of the new DLC. And yeah, it's a strong DLC pack. I kind of think that there's really only one new character. I think Tanuki Mario and Cat Peach or whatever are kind of a stretch for new characters, but all right, whatever. But having Link is awesome. Having the new cars is pretty cool. And the new tracks, it's really about the tracks, and the tracks are pretty good for the most part. Like, I love the Zelda track. The Zelda track's great. I especially love the fact that instead of collecting coins, you get rupees. They change it to rupees. And when you run over the question mark blocks, instead of the usual roulette noise it makes, it goes do 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 do, and then your item comes up. Like, it's those little changes like that that make that course really a lot of fun to play. Now, you're probably wondering what I think about the F-Zero course. And my answer, honestly, is eh. It's not an F-Zero game, and honestly, it just feels like an F-Zero skin on what is otherwise a very Mario Kart course, and I was not really a fan of the Mute City remix, because it's kind of super jazz, like saxophone, like, did Kenny G perform in this? I don't know how to feel, I don't know, but I mean, I get that it fits in with the other Mario Kart stages, but I didn't like that. I was not I rejected that remix. I didn't care for it. But whatever. The Excitebike remix was really good, though. That was a really awesome song. The stage was a little boring because it's a big oval with just a bunch of ramps that are straight out of what you used to see in the Excitebike games. So, like, that stage for what it is pretty cool, you know, but it's not, like, the most exciting thing in the world. So yeah, played some Mario Kart 8 as well. So, and then randomly the other night, I played a couple stages of Kid Icarus on Virtual Console. That's right, 8-bit, hard as hell, Kid Icarus. Why? Because I realized I didn't have Metroid on the Wii U for some reason. I was going to play Metroid, and for some reason I don't have that on Wii U Virtual Console. And I was like, I don't want to spend any more money. I'll play what I have, and I have Kid Icarus, so I played a little bit of that. That's where that ended up. All right, let's see. And Pow in chat telling me that Cat Peach purrs. It's disgustingly adorable. let's see. Akuma JP says, I am sick. I heard Sky say, instead of coins, you get rabies. No. Cat Peach does not get rabies, Akuma JP. That would be a whole nother game. That would be Zombie U2 featuring Peach. No. Rupees. Rupees. The official currency of Hyrule. Rupees. Do they call them something else in Japan? Or do they have a different name over there? It's rupees in Japan as well? Okay, there we go. All right. Sadly absent from the Zelda DLC. I will say this is a perfect opportunity. It's not there. You could have had Tingle as the flag waver on the Zelda course. Where was my Tingle on that course? Come on. Loki, come on, you got to be disappointed at that too. No Tingle in the Zelda DLC?
No.
It's a travesty.
What are they doing?
Could be an Easter egg. Who knows?
Maybe I got to, like, up, up, down, down, left, right. Maybe that's how they get Tingle to show up. It's kind of like Flappy Vog. All right. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Jonas, how about you? What kind of games you've been playing this week besides, you know, like, you know, winning competitions and shit?
Okay. Now that I came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did play a bit of Mario Kart 8. Decided to try a couple of tracks.
What'd you think of the new tracks?
The new ice level is actually pretty nifty. The shortcut's a little more difficult than most other shortcuts in the game. It's like, oh, this is going to be an interesting challenge. Just try it. The Excitebike, I mean, that's actually pretty fun, despite the fact it is, quote, boring. Well, at least it gives people an excuse that Baby Park is not coming back. Fuck that course.
No Baby Park. Yeah, we need Waluigi Pinball, though. If Waluigi Pinball doesn't show up in the Animal Kart, or Animal Kart, Animal Crossing, Mario Kart, well, I guess just throw it together as Animal Kart. If Waluigi Pinball is not one of the retro courses coming, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed. That course is so fun.
I thought that was already one of the courses.
No, it's in the 3DS, but it's not.
I'm thinking,
And I believe Waluigi Pinball was originally in the Wii version, right? I think it was its premiere.
I thought the regular DS.
Maybe, no, you're right. It was the regular DS. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I want, that's the one retro course I haven't seen yet that I want to see is Waluigi Pinball.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The dragon course is actually pretty interesting for its design as well. F-Zero is like one of the only courses where coins do not show up. You have to actually recharge your coins. Which is actually an interesting feature for those who've been waiting for F-Zero but can't get an F-Zero game for the Wii U as of yet. Who knows? Given how popular Mario Kart 8 is.
What other games have you been playing this week? Anything else besides just Mario Kart 8?
Unfortunately, no, because right now I've been busy with other stuff at the moment. And hopefully catch up on Pokemon, Oras, and of course Smash Brothers next week.
I'm very excited about Smash Brothers next week because, like, I can't get into it on the 3DS the way I can on a console. So I'm very excited to be able to sit on the couch and really, really get into the Smash Brothers game. It's gonna be fun. Mm-hmm. If I can put down Dragon Age and Little Big Planet 3, which I'm also getting next week.
Ooh, I forgot about Little Big Planet 3.
Right? I was just saying that before you got here. I was like, Little Big Planet 3. Like, when that is the release that's kind of bubbling under compared to other things, you know, you have a big week. You have a big, big week.
Yeah, I mean, I played it at E3, and oh my god, that's amazing.
All right. Let's see. Let's get into some housekeeping tonight. We have a little bit of housekeeping, then we'll get into some gaming news. For housekeeping tonight, a couple big things to talk to you about. First off, YYR is going to be here on the show tonight a little later in the show. We're going to talk to him. Probably at the top of Part B is when we're going to talk to him. The reason why he's coming on the show tonight, he is here to unveil a new OLR-inspired game that is releasing tonight. A new OLR-inspired game releasing tonight. YYR is here to talk about that, so we're going to get that later in the show. If you haven't checked that, if you're newer to the show and you didn't know about this, if your 360 is still hooked up, you've got, like, spend the dollar. You probably have the fucking points in change somehow. Spend the dollar on Bungie Ferret Tossing, which is in the XNA arcade, the what do they call it?
Indie Games.
The Indie Games section of 360. Look for Bungie Ferret Tossing. That was the first YYR OLR-inspired game. And to be fair, to give YYR some other plugs, he's done some other really good games.
Snake 360.
Snake 360 was a lot of Falling was totally underrated. I think he told me he didn't sell a lot of copies of that, which really sucks, because that really kind
port
of...
Port that shit.
It's a throwback to, like, old 80s arcade games.
He needs to port that stuff. That would be a great iOS game, I bet.
Yeah, I bet. So, anyway, so just a big plug for YYR Games and what he's doing. And hey, people that are going to take the dumb shit that comes out of our mouths and actually turn it into games. We got to applaud that. We've got to applaud that. So
I have to keep being clever.
Yeah, I hear this game. This game was you. It was something that came out of your mouth. That's what I know. Is that something you said, Dark Saga, became this game? That's all I know.
Because I'm such a lovely and polite young lady.
Oh Lord, here we go. Now we're not. Can we get an OLR dream game that's like keep Jamie's ego in check? Fit Jamie's ego through the door. Your ego and Gemet's ego could do battle. It would be like a...
How about this? Ego buffer.
Or I have to wax your ego.
Oh, no, you have to buffer the size of it so that it will filter properly.
All right. YYR is saying, by the way, tonight's game, not a 360 game. Tonight's game is a browser game for free. So that's right. I like free as well. So get ready. Y'all ready for this? Because he's going to be on the show later to talk about this. So
I have an excite.
I know. I'm excited too. Good times.
Are you enjoy?
I am. All right. Also of note, mark your calendars, folks. December 7th, we're going to be doing something a little special here at OLR. I get asked, we all get asked several times throughout the year, you know, I love your show, but you're on way too late for me. You're on too late in the day for me. I live in the UK, and you guys are on at like 3 in the morning. I want to participate with your show, but I can't because you're overseas. Well, mark your calendars for December 7th, because OLR on December 7th will be at noon Pacific time. OLR will be broadcasting at noon Pacific time on December 7th. So for those of you guys overseas,
which will be 8 o'clock
right,
in the UK.
8 p.m. in the UK, and a distinct time zone shift for many of you folks. So look out for that. Now, don't worry if you are the person that is here religiously every week at 6 o'clock Pacific time, as we usually tape at, the show will rebroadcast in its entirety. Whatever is done at noon will rebroadcast unedited at 6 p.m., right, or whenever Bobby finishes his show that night. The reason why we're doing this, Dark Soccer and I are going to a holiday event in the Bay Area with a mutual friend of
ours. We're
going to
eat a lot of food and drink.
Yes. So we thought, you know what, this is a great – we want to tape the show in advance. – A lot of our overseas folks say, when are you going to do a show earlier in the day? This is a way we can kind of kill two birds with one stone. Dark Soccer and I can do our dinner, and those that want to participate that live in a different time zone will have their opportunity. Of course, I'm not saying – if you happen to be West Coast or East Coast and you want to be here at noon or 3 p.m. or whatever.
No, you're not allowed.
Yeah, no, you can still come. I mean, it's not like UK only or whatever, but this will be your chance. So mark your calendar for December 7th. So there you go. All right. And you have some folks in chat asking, so what time is that? And Jamie's saying, well, what time is it now? Because that's the time it's going to be at. Or right now, well, it's 7 p.m. now, and so it'll be...
Well, no, I'm trying to figure time difference for what time noon would be. So, like, for right now...
7 hours behind now, wherever you're at. Anyway.
So, Ikuma, like, where Ikuma is, it's already tomorrow, I think.
Yeah. Sadly, I think Ikuma will get stuck in one of those time zones where noon is overnight, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say. But, you know, it's one show, and it will rebroadcast at 6 o'clock. So I'm just, you know, this way Dark Soccer and I can be festive, damn it.
I think it'd be like 3 a.m. for you. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry to say, I think Japan's going to get the overnight on that. But again,
right now it's noon.
Yeah, but it will rebroadcast at 6 p.m. So just saying. It's one show, guys. It's one show. Dark Soccer and I have to go eat a lot of turkey.
Nom, nom, nom.
All right. So that's December 7th. All right. That's it for housekeeping that I can think of. Let's get into some gaming news. There's been a lot more than this Assassin's Creed stuff and Sonic stuff going on this week. So let's get into it. Loki.
So Sony announced this week that they're going to be bringing a cloud-based TV service to consoles called PlayStation View. And what it's going to – I guess it's going to debut on PlayStation 4 and PS3. And they're even saying it's going to come to non-Sony devices, I guess, tablets and that kind of stuff. What exactly is it going to contain? I have no fucking clue. And they said, you know, it is going to be competitively priced. And I don't know. It, based on the screenshots I've seen, looks kind of like, you know, you're like a Netflix or something. But they, one of the things that they did say is, besides like on-demand stuff, I think they're also going to have like actual like streaming stuff. Like it's going to be like TV, you know, where you're going to have stuff being broadcast and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited because I don't pay for TV. And, you know, to be fair, you know, I know Microsoft had originally talked about doing some like cloud-based stuff, and that right. kind of fell through, uh-huh. I guess. And I know Sony probably is in a little bit better position to do that, since they also are a media company that
right.
produces content. So.
And Microsoft scrapped theirs,
yeah.
unfortunately. Yeah.
So,
well, here's
it would be nice if that was okay. part of PlayStation Plus, but
yeah. Well, don't hold your breath. Here's the thing that I don't get. Well, you know how they're talking about that PlayStation Now is likely to have a subscription service in the future. What do you want to bet it's tied to this? You know, it'd be like a PlayStation Super Plus or something. I don't know. Who knows what
Whatever,
they'll call
it? Yeah. If it makes sense.
Maybe details to come at that experience event in December. Who knows?
Could be.
This could be something they're going to talk about. But anyway, my question is, how is Sony expecting to get away with launching a cable competitor on cable internet? Like, surely Comcast and Time Warner are looking at this going, wait a damn minute.
Well,
or can they? Would that be antitrust if they tried to block it?
I think it would be. I don't think they really have a say. I mean, I don't know. Like, for example, they're saying right now the partners
this
that they have.
This is why net neutrality is important, because if we don't get net neutrality, then these companies can block this because they don't want the competition. So, but
well,
if we have net neutrality,
they're
not going to
block it. They're not going to block it. What they're going to do is they're just not going to partner with them to provide stuff. But it's kind of twofold. It's one, you know, they want to have their product on as many places as possible to get, you know, revenue from that streaming stuff. That's ideally how it should be, is where let's get our content on as many things as possible. But then sometimes they get greedy and they want it, you know, they want that, you know, revenue to be just strictly coming to them. You know, they don't want to have, you know, partial revenue coming from other things. So right now they've got some of the partners: CBS, Fox, Viacom. So, you know, your MTV, Comedy Central, that's kind of stuff.
Well, that's all an extension of CBS anyway.
Discovery Communications, NBC Universal, Scripps Network Interactive, which I have no fucking clue what that
okay,
is.
Okay, interesting that NBC's on there though, because NBC is Comcast now. So
yeah, and interesting. And, of course, they also said that Disney and Time Warner are in active discussions, but so nothing firmed out yet on that. But
so Disney's a holdout, which is kind of a big deal because that's ABC.
Well,
that
Disney,
is,
I thought was supposed to be doing their own thing, like they want their own service. I heard,
yeah, they do. They're, but that's more of a Netflix competitor.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, Disney, you know, they're very picky choosy on what they do with that. But Disney does include ABC. Disney owns ABC, which is, you know, a whole big broadcast network. What are the big shows on ABC right now? I keep thinking Lost, but that's been off the air for Lord knows how long. What? Oh, Scandal. I like that show. Olivia Pope will not be on the
who gives a fuck? The last season
I love Scandal. Shut up.
Yeah, but that's already that's on Netflix. I mean,
that's
you just
true.
Wait a year.
That's true.
I don't know. It's not a big deal.
All right. Fair enough. Happy Endings, I love that show. They scrapped that too. Maybe ABC kind of sucks. They keep getting rid of the shows I like. I don't know. All right. Anyhow, well, I'm looking forward to more details on this. I'm hoping we'll see some of it at the PlayStation event in Vegas in a few weeks. Meanwhile, I mentioned there's a lot of drama going on this week, and some of it is around World of Warcraft. The new expansion for World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor, came out this week, and lots of technical issues going on. Lots and lots of technical issues happening with the game's launch. Part of what's to blame for these issues is that Blizzard is saying that they are getting DDoS attacked right at the same time that they're trying to launch the game. I can't imagine that the comments that were made at BlizzCon have anything to do with why they suddenly became a DDoS target, but I'm sure Blizzard's always a DDoS target as well. That plays into
yeah,
it.
I don't know if I'd necessarily blame you know, that. It's just, you know.
I'm sorry, but there's that part of me that goes, you know, the internet sucks sometimes, and I wonder if that didn't make them a target. But I kind of think World of Warcraft is always a target. I sort of think that's always a target for, you know, script kiddies and wannabe hackers to want to attack to get a little attention to whatever thing they're pissed off about. So anyway, Blizzard blaming the DDoS attacks for a lot of their server issues, and to combat it, they had to severely limit the amount of people that could log into the game. So players were looking at queues of thousands of people ahead of them. One of my friends on Twitter waited 10 hours to get into her server yesterday, and it was one of those log in, get in the queue, go out, do something with the day, and then come back and maybe you'll be able to play later at night. Now, I'm hearing the expansion's really good. They're saying it is the best expansion since Burning Crusade. Again, I'm hearing this from fans on my Twitter that are kind of slant that I met through Horde House that are already kind of slanted pro WoW. But I mean, that's a pretty strong endorsement that in spite of all those technical issues, people are still really enjoying the game once they get in there. Not everybody having such a happy experience though. One of the folks that really took a stand against what's going on is the administrator of the large Reddit community r/WoW. The administrator of that community chose to shut down r/WoW until he could log into the game. that basically there was a lot of crap going up onto the main Reddit, Warcraft Reddit, about like screenshots of queue times, just like the same types of crappy posts over and over again, and the administrator was getting sick of it. But a lot of folks also seeing this as the administrator just lashing out, that because they can't log into the game, that they're going to take it out on the entire 200,000 almost user base that is on Reddit for World of Warcraft. In fact, earlier this evening, this is unfolding live as we're on air. Earlier this evening, the WoW Reddit was shut down once again. It opened up finally. I guess the guy could log in. But by then, a lot of people were just basically like, fuck you and your power trip. We're going to a new Reddit. And it is down again with a message from the moderators of r/WoW. The World of Warcraft subreddit has been shut down due to doxing. That message changed early. About an hour ago, it said, there's a bunch of other World of Warcraft Reddits out there. You can go check one of them out. So this guy who's an administrator is having a fit and basically shut down the Reddit over it. And a lot of people are saying, can't you take the Reddit away from him? Can you petition the admins of Reddit to take it away from him? But the answer a lot of people are getting is, that's not how Reddit works. You make a subreddit, you can do anything you want with it, essentially. You're the moderator of that subreddit.
So why don't they just make another one?
That's what a lot of people are doing. But what's happening now, guess what's happening as a result of that, Dark Saga? It's getting diluted because everybody wants to make the new World of Warcraft subreddit. So you have r/RealWoW. You have some people that are taking it to r/Warcraft, although those people are like, wait a minute, this is for lore discussion. There's another one I just saw on Twitter, world_of_Warcraft. What were some of the other ones? I don't know. So now what's happening is like five different people are launching World of Warcraft ones. And no, you know, where's everybody going to end up? Who knows? r/WoW was a pretty catchy, easy World of Warcraft sub. So, yeesh. Dungeon Buster in chat says, did someone call the Wambulance for him? Tiger Claw says, people take WoW so seriously. Good thing I'm not a part of it. You know, it should be noted that Blizzard's community management team endorsed Reddit's WoW community as an official fan community of sorts, and you can bet that a lot of that is in question over the past couple days and what's unfolded there. One of the CMs basically called the guy out on Twitter and said, you know, this probably isn't the best way to handle the situation. You know, it was professional. It wasn't like, you know, fuck you, asshole, which is probably what a lot of people are saying to this guy. But, you know, it was a little more professional than that. Let's see. Cial in chat saying, usually you can't take over a Reddit unless all the staff haven't logged in for X amount of time. Apparently, all the other moderators of the WoW subreddit were demodded. So it's only going to be the one guy. So maybe that'll happen. Who knows? I don't know. But obviously, that is drama that is still literally unfolding live. So apparently, the admin got doxxed at some point because maybe that's why he shut it down again. So this is all unfolding. But my understanding is people are logging into WoW now. The queues aren't as bad. The caps are back up to where they normally are. If you play on a high pop server, you're going to have some queues. But like I know my buddies over on GameBuoy.org, they play on a low mid pop server, so they're not facing queues. The Horde House Guild, though, is on a high pop server, so they're getting some minor queuing, but no more than like 30 minutes. So, all right. So that's the drama unfolding in the World of Warcraft this week. Is it because of DDoSing? Is it because that this expansion is so damn popular? A lot of people are coming back to WoW that apparently didn't do the same thing when it was Pandaria or Cataclysm. Like, this seems to be attracting gamers in a different way. So, very interesting. Let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, you know how there are those studies out there that say, oh, gaming rots your brain and it makes you violent or stupid or all of that. Well, there's actually a much better research study that indicates quite the opposite. It's a study that's actually put out by Princeton University and the University of Rochester to see exactly how gaming, especially certain types of gaming, affect your skill level and your ability to learn. And what they did is they found that people who are gamers are actually much better learners. They learn faster. But those who play the more fast-paced strategy games, something like Call of Duty or Mass Effect or something, they're going to have better speed and cognition than someone who plays a much slower strategy game. But that's just because it's pretty much brain conditioning. It's conditioning the brain to think quickly and, you know, basically be able to make a quick decision like that and have it be a quick and educated decision. So it's pretty cool.
So you learn how to think on your feet.
Yeah, but the other thing too is that this actually, while they've put out this, it's still just an initial release. Mm-hmm. They're running this as an ongoing study, you know, testing different. This one right here is basically, this part was just the ability to strategize and learn in situations. Mm-hmm. They're checking long-term cognition and improvements on that.
You know what else will help you learn how to think on your feet? Doing a live radio show. But no, it's kind of, you know what's funny is that I always, when I hear a story like this, I kind of think back to what we used to tell our parents growing up. But mom, video games are good for you because it's your hand-eye coordination.
Mm. I remember hearing that study before, like, I think 2003, like, with the same results, talking about dexterity, like, brain mm-hmm. dexterity.
Well, think about how the Nintendo Wii really caught on in a lot of senior citizen homes. Because the whole, like, you know, again, that you know, function and the motion and the interactiveness was really a good workout for the brain for things that are fun, like bowling. Like, who doesn't know bowling? Like, a lot of senior citizens know what bowling is, okay? And golf. So, and you could do that, you know, very easily with this system. And that's why, that's what really helped the Wii catch on.
Well, the biggest items that they were focusing on were things like multitasking, perception, attention, task switching, and decision making. So basically things that would require quick decision making. and I have to say that I found this not on any video gaming website either. I found it on I Fucking Love Science, which is a very good site for, you know, cool science. Which all science is cool, but this is really cool.
YYR in chat says, I bet you all $5 that Rob is sitting down right now. So much for thinking on your feet.
Nope, he's standing.
Well, sir, you just lost $5 because I'm standing right now. My co-host can vouch for that. Because I do sit for a lot of the show, but when I sit during the whole show, like, my butt gets sore. I got to stand up once in a while.
Does your butt fall asleep?
Long show. What?
Does your butt fall asleep?
I wouldn't say it falls asleep, but I have to get up and move. Get up and move once in a while.
Do you get twitchy cheek syndrome? Fine.
Get up and move. Come on, I figured YYR would appreciate that.
Rob's just
that.
Trying to avoid swamp ass.
All right, yes, I'm trying to avoid swamp ass or whatever I've got going on my app. Basically J-Lo ass back here. I'm trying to prevent a little bit of that. All right.
You should do what I'm doing, Rob.
What?
Fuck it.
That's right, fuck it. All right, Loki, what do you got?
So there's been some issues with SharePlay, and you know, it's been known that, I guess, Call of Duty's blocking SharePlay because they say that they haven't tested it with their game yet. I don't know, whatever. But apparently also people are having trouble with FIFA 15. Now, it's not known yet if this isn't necessarily where EA is saying, hey, we're just not going to share this. We're not going to allow you to share gameplay on this, but apparently, there's issues with it right now where if you try to do it, sometimes it gives you a problem where it says you can't do that. And I guess it's not necessarily just FIFA, but also they're having trouble with like a FIFA 15, WWE 2K15, Guacamelee, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, stuff like that. So apparently it worked at one time, but now it's not. So they're saying, you know, kind of your mileage may vary.
Is this related to some of the, like, because PlayStation was tweeting out that SharePlay was broken earlier this week?
Yeah, there was like, you know, they were saying, you know, some PlayStation 4 owners are currently unable to access SharePlay. We are investigating. The error message displayed on PS4 is inaccurate. And that's in regards to, you know, it being disabled. Because, you know, the error message that's popping up right now, if you try to do that, you know, viewing the game screen that the host is currently playing is not allowed due to content restrictions in your country or region. If the host starts a game that you can view, a game screen will be displayed. So it almost sounds like an ESRB or like a PEGI lockout type thing. But, you know, it's a rated E game. Well, at least, you know, I'm not sure what the PEGI equivalent is. But, yeah, it's for everyone, so I don't know why that would be the case.
But I wonder, can these games be streamed on Twitch? Because, I mean, I know you can lock out certain scenes of your game when you're live streaming on Twitch, but can you lock the whole game out of Twitch? I mean, surely people would just use an outside capture card to get around that. If
true, but they apparently were saying, I guess it was, what was it? It's a feature that's, you know, basically in every single game that's out there, but it's just, you know, up to developers, they can lock the, you know, it out. Basically, here's what it says. The share play is a system level feature available for all PlayStation 4 titles. However, the option is available to developers to disable the feature according to what they feel is best, will be the best benefit to the consumer experience. So it's possible that they can disable it, but I don't know if that's what's going on here.
All right.
But
well,
whatever the case may be, though, it's not just FIFA 15. There's, you know, a few other games that are out there, and it's just kind of, I don't know, maybe it's going to be fixed soon, but it's not just FIFA 15. You know, yeah, here's some other games. They said the 14 games known to block share play include, and this is kind of stupid. I don't know why all these are like this, but Another World, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty Ghosts, Child of Light, Hotline Miami, Metro Redux, Minecraft, Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate, Rayman Legends, SteamWorld Dig, Thief, Tomb Raider, and Wolfenstein The New Order.
SteamWorld Dig is a PS Plus game. Almost everybody has that. It's weird that they'd lock that out if that's intentional.
It's up to the developer, though. Maybe if it doesn't run well with it in there. I don't know.
Weird.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase copy.
All right. Well, hopefully this game runs well because it sounds like a pretty cool concept. You know, Taito, a big classic game developer, and they were responsible for a couple classic arcade games back in the day. Arkanoid. You ever played Arkanoid? The whole breakout, right? And that thing. And then, of course, Space Invaders, right? So how about a mobile game for iOS and Android that combines the two? That's right. Arkanoid versus Space Invaders. That is a real thing that's out there where you will absorb incoming attacks until your meter is full, and then you fire the energy back in ball form to wipe out the invaders. You wipe them out with your balls. All right, anyhow, it's not out yet, but it will be on its way out in Japan in the winter. No word if it is coming out worldwide, but I can't see how it doesn't come out worldwide. Like, I know we got things like Groove Coaster and some of the other Taito stuff here. So there you go. And maybe could a 3DS or PlayStation Vita, could that be in the works as well? Well, I don't know. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. All we know now for sure, iOS and Android. But looking at some of these screenshots, it does look kind of fun. And I like Space Invaders and I like Arkanoid. If the price is right, if it's like a 99-cent game or even like $1.99, and if it has an excellent soundtrack, because I'll tell you what, a lot of those Taito, like Space Invader games, have a freaking awesome soundtrack. So, yeah, if it has a good soundtrack, that'll make it worth it right there. Arkanoid versus Space Invaders. Jamie, you're a fan of classic games. How does that make you feel hearing about that?
Tingly.
SSG 100 Matt in chat says, wow, feels like this should have happened ages ago, right? Fifth Dream says, best fucking game ever. OMG. Well, now let's not get ahead of ourselves. especially after some of the things we've learned this week. Let the reviewers have a crack at it first. Then we'll make our decisions. All right. Let's move on. Dark Soccer, release dates after this.
Well, we have some other stuff going on. You know that dumbass who on Twitter decided to threaten Gabe Newell? You know.
Yeah. Yes, that was pretty stupid.
Yep, pretty stupid. Well, anyway, Mike Malbec, he was the developer on Paranautical Activity. Well, he left the company he was with, and now he's back. And Codavaris is doing a new game. So he decided to leave. He came back. He's just sort of still a douche. I don't know. What do you think?
I think this guy kind of ruined his reputation already some time ago, and it's going to take a very, 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 very long time to get that back. Because unfortunately, you have people like us and the websites that were also running these stories kind of already, you know, commenting based on his behavior, which is, you know, too bad, but he said it, so.
Well, the new game is called Spinal Destination, which is a mix of Left 4 Dead, Time Splitters, and Painkiller.
Well, now that's kind of funny. That's a funny name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to judge the games based off of one douchebag.
That's true. That's a good point, because there might be other hardworking people on it.
But we... I mean, as long as he's not like the, you know, owner of everything ever with it, then I wouldn't judge the company based on just him. Now, if it was someone like, say, oh, the CEO and owner of said company, like dead guy who owned that chicken chain, you know, then that's a little different story.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in our chat says he realized he couldn't get a job, so he went back to his old job. Yep. Tiger Claw in chat says, sounds like the guy is desperate. He found out leaving the company he wouldn't be making the money he was when developing games. So, All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates, because I believe it's a busy week, right, Loki?
Yes, it's probably one of the busiest weeks in November, so it's going to be as busy, I think, as it's going to get.
Meaning the busiest week of the whole year.
Yes, the busiest week of the whole year. So, let's see. This week we have Hatsune Miku Project Diva F2 for Vita, because it's already come out on PlayStation 3. Dragon Age Inquisition on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of WWE 2K15 come out this week. Escape Dead Island, a game I completely forgot was coming out, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Little Big Planet 3 on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. MXGP 14. That's on Xbox 360 and I believe PlayStation 4 as well. Yeah, PlayStation 4 and maybe PlayStation 3. I don't know. Let's see what else here. We've got, I guess Hatsune Miku Project Diva F second is coming out this week as well on PlayStation 3. I thought that came out already.
Not the second. That's the difference.
Ah, yes. Okay.
This is a new one.
Rabbids Invasion on Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's the interactive TV show thing. Watch Dogs finally coming out on Wii U this week. So I guess you can pick that up now. Let's see. My favorite game of the week, Grand Theft Auto 5 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Far Cry 4 coming out on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC. Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 because those versions were delayed. Minecraft, the Xbox One edition, gets a disc release this week. Monopoly, the Family Fun Pack on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Smash Brothers for the Wii U. It's going to be coming out on Friday. Also, along with that, Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Pokemon Omega Ruby on 3DS. And I think there's a whole host of accessories and amiibos and shit that are going to be coming out this week as well.
All right. Busy. You want to name all the amiibos coming out? I'm just kidding.
Don't fuck if I care.
Don't do that. All right.
Nintendo characters.
All right. All right. Let's travel over to Japan. Japan's got some stuff this week as well. Assassin's Creed Unity gets its Japanese release on November 20th, if you are daring and wanting to check that out. Shin Sengoku Musou 7 Empires comes out in a regular and premium box edition. By the way, these are both on PlayStation 4. That is also out in Japan this week. EA Sports UFC getting its Japanese release as well this week. That all is on the PlayStation 4. On the Xbox One, a lot of that same stuff I just named over on the Xbox One as well, because remember that is out in Japan now. So Shin Sengoku Musou 7 Empires also in Japan this week. On the PlayStation 3, you can also pick up, once again, Shin Sengoku Musou 7 Empires there as well. As far as Japanese stuff on the PlayStation 3, though, not a lot else this week. Let's see the Vita and the 3DS. The Vita has Senju no Enbu Kyoku comes out this week on the PlayStation Vita. And on the Nintendo 3DS this week, if I can get to my list, I think it's a little busier there on the 3DS because we have Dorego Nobita to Yusei no Fushigi Collection comes out, as well as Mahokore Maho Idoru Collection.
Magical Idol Collection?
It's probably a collection of idol games. Let me look. Well, let's look. It's
magical something.
The title's not going to be any... Yeah, this looks like a like an idol game mixed with like kind of like a farm-esque type of thing, looks like, okay, going on there. Idol. Yeah, farmer idol. I don't know. This looks interesting. Sumiko Gorashi Koko ga Ochisukundesu comes out as well this week, and that is adorable. It looks like Pusheen, the cat, but they're different characters, like a penguin and a dog. And I don't know what the hell they're doing, but it's cute. They're eating sushi in this picture. Doesn't that game look
cute?
They
look like little things with singular eyeballs.
They do. They look like those Pusheen stickers on Facebook.
Pusheen's amazing.
I know, but they look like Pusheen's cousins. That's what I'm going to call that game. Pusheen's Cousins comes out. By the way, there is some releases as well. Oh, never mind. That's Australia I'm looking at there. Some 3DS's XL. The new 3DS XL is out in Australia this week. I guess it's worth mentioning that there. Pokemon Alpha Sapphire also this week in Japan, and Omega Ruby, of course. So busy, busy week, and a lot of peripherals coming out to support that. Dark Sakura.
There's some stuff coming out in the UK, but who cares? No, I'm kidding. I love you guys. On the 17th, we have Company of Heroes 2, Ardennes Assault. On 18th, we have Grand Theft Auto 5 on Xbox and PlayStation 4. 21st of November, we have Adventure Time, The Secret of the Nameless Kingdom, and Dragon Age Inquisition on damn near everything. We also have Escape Dead Island, Far Cry 4, Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, Sonic Boom, and WWE 2K15. So, save thine pence.
All right, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week, Loki.
All right, this is kind of cool. There, you know, you're going to have to wait a little bit for the actual Oculus Rift to be coming out, but remember that whole Samsung Galaxy Note 4 attachment that's the Samsung Gear VR? Well, it's coming out next month. They, in fact, have a price point of $200. For the attachment. Now, granted, you're going to have to actually buy the, you know, Galaxy Note 4 to plug in there, and that's probably a little bit more expensive than that. But yes, you can own that next month. To go along with that, of course, they've released Oculus released their mobile software development kit, and you know, I guess should be interesting to check out. I guess the VR headset, though, the Oculus Rift, not expected to be hitting until mid 2015, but I don't know if I do need a new phone. Note 4 of those kind of expensive to buy out of a plan, so I don't know.
Are you thinking about it though, Loki?
Thinking about it, but I probably wouldn't. It's not a lot of money to jump for that. And honestly,
you don't necessarily have to get the first one either. You know, next year is going to be a huge year for this stuff. So
yeah, and honestly, I'd be more interested in picking up probably Project Morpheus, whatever the hell they decide to actually call that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not Project Morpheus.
Yeah,
call it something Matrixy.
Ooh,
though.
I wonder if the name will be unveiled.
Ooh, like the Sony Matrix would be pretty sweet.
The Sony Matrix.
Hey, why not Project Morpheus? I mean, hey, I'm down with that. Or
the
maybe
Neo.
The Sony Neo.
The Sony Blue Pill.
Sony no, Trinity.
The Sony-o.
Sony. Ah, hey, that's a.
I'm smart. I'm the Sony-o. One that came up with OL Army. I mean, hello.
Sony puppy. Neo would be pretty cool. I kind of like that name. That would work.
It was a combination, I think. But I did the one of the tank with OL Army on the side.
Like 10 years ago. Anyway. Well, you know what? Speaking of coming up with new names, the VGAs, the Video Game Awards, they're going to have a new name because, you know, game tactics is not really a thing anymore. So now the VGAs will become the Game Awards 2014. Speaking to Jeff Keighley, the producer, saying, quote, "The Game Awards 2014 will celebrate our collective love of games and the passion we all hold in our hearts for this incredible entertainment medium. Gaming has never been stronger, and this year we will recognize the fastest-selling launch year in history for new game consoles, the rise of esports, and mobile gaming around the globe, and preview the games that will make 2015 the biggest year yet. This is going to take place in the Axis Theater in Vegas, and you will be able to see it pretty much online anywhere. I believe it's going to be on Xbox, it's going to be on Sony, it's going to be on Twitch for sure. It will not, however, be on television. It's no longer tied to Spike TV. That might not be a bad thing, though, because this thing's getting more independent, so a lot of that crap stunt stuff you have to do for TV, like celebrities who don't actually play video games, they won't necessarily have to do. So it could be interesting.
It wasn't. Was it last year that it was all fucked up? There was something really embarrassing with Jeff Keighley. Was it the E3 stuff last year? Was that like the awards last year?
Well, where do we begin? Was that the Doritos and the Mountain Dew, or is that the you're probably thinking that the awards last year was online only? I think, and it was weird. It was, yeah, it was like it was awkward. Yeah, wasn't that good?
Wasn't Conan O'Brien doing it as well? No, it was Jeff Keighley and what's his name from The Soup? Why can't I remember his name? Joel. Who's the guy from The Soup? Joel McHale. Yeah.
let's see. And they're telling me in chat I misspoke. It's Game Trailers was the site, right?
Game Trailers. Yeah, Joel McHale last year, remember, I like the guy, but I think he was kind of annoying last year, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. You know, obviously Keighley loves games, and I think he'll do a good job with it. It's just, I'm interested to see it.
Well, this is the other interesting thing about it, you know, and I don't know. I'm skeptical about the whole thing, but this does make me go, well, shit, he ain't fucking around. Jeff Keighley is laying down the money himself to make this work. And there's also a part of me that goes, must be nice to have that kind of money to risk on the investments. But you know what? He works hard. He's shown up on freaking everything that has to do with video games. He was at BlizzCon on their thing. So seems like he's a lot of times the face of game journalism, for better or worse. So he's putting the money down. The investment is my own. I'm bankrolling it, and we're trying to sell some sponsorships, but there's no submission fees. I didn't even realize that they had been charging submission fees. But there's a fair amount of risk involved, but he will not say how much of his money he's putting up. He did say, I thought about doing a Kickstarter, but I would feel awkward doing that. I think I need to take this on myself to prove that I can do it. I need to prove to everyone this is going to be great. If I were to kickstart it, there would have been a fair amount of skepticism. You know what? That statement alone raises my hopes a significant amount, that he kind of realizes that. He's like, you know what? I could do that, but I'm going to just – I believe in this enough where I'm just going to take the risk. I mean, good luck. The thing that worries me about it is this seems to be happening kind of quick. Like, this was just announced, and isn't this ceremony happening like the week
usually,
the PlayStation thing? It's like, it's not a lot of time.
Yeah, usually it's in the early part of December.
Yeah, so I don't know, but
maybe they, no, maybe
if he gets some good exclusives, it'll have a lot of people talking, you know, especially if he's able to, and I don't know what he will and won't be able to say, but if he's able to say, like, the world reveal of the new XYZ game will be during the Game Awards. That alone will get a lot of eyes on it. If he can,
they have a lot of world exclusive trailers and stuff that, you know, they had a new. I think that was one of the.
That's where they announced Skyrim years and years ago. I remember that distinctly.
Skyrim, yeah, and then I think they had a new trailer for No Man's. Yeah, it was either the first time they showed off No Man's Sky, or that was the second.
That
time.
Was their big thing last year. The No Man's Sky.
Yeah, that was like that was last year. I was like,
yeah, that was like the one thing everybody was happy they tuned in for.
That, so yeah, and that was what, the ironic part of that is the game that got the most hype out of everything that they showed. It's like, yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. It's kind of one of those. We'll see what I'm doing on that day when it's
speaking
airing.
Of which,
if I'm around, I'll maybe tune in.
Speaking of which, I want to play No Man's Sky.
You want to play No Man's Sky?
I want No Man's Sky.
Well, like, best.
Can that come out soon, please?
We'll see. All right. Let's see. Let's move on. We're going to get to the classic game of the week, because every week Darksoccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking this game out. You know, screw all this newfangled stuff. I'm going to walk into the vault. I'm going to find a classic game for you all to worship this week.
I'm a school y'all.
So you know what, Darcy? Screw Dragon Age Inquisition.
Hey!
To hell with Pokemon.
Okay, to hell with Pokemon.
Fuck Little Big Planet. And go eat a bag of dicks, Smash Brothers, because classic games is where it's at. So Dark Sakura, just take all that other new shit to the dumpster, and what classic games should people be playing this week instead?
I have gone for the edge of the 10-year rule and gone for Capcom Fighting Evolution. Or as it came out in Japan and Europe, Capcom Fighting Jam. It came out in 2004. It was a fighting game from Capcom that originally came out in the arcades for the Namco System 246 hardware and came out on the Xbox and PS2. It has basically characters from three different incarnations of the Street Fighter series. It has characters from Red Earth and characters from Darkstalkers. And they use the same fighting system that each character does. And it almost seems like they pulled exact sprite rips from it, too. So this game actually had some issues around it. The only original character in this one was Ingrid, as we've seen her show up in other games before. And then you had the bosses, Pyron and Shin Akuma. Shin Goki, as he was in Japan. You also had the 2-on-2 endurance style matches, like you saw in Rival Schools. And you could choose a series of characters together. In the Japanese version, if the current character is defeated for one round, the next round begins with the other version, although in the North American one, you can keep the same character. So we have the Street Fighter 2 Turbo Edition versions of Ryu, Guile, Bison over here, Vega in Japan, and Zangief. In Darkstalkers, we had Anacharis, Dimitri, Felicia, and Jetta. I love freaking Jetta in all the games ever. In Street Fighter Alpha,
I know a lot of people that would want to play this just so then when they knock out Felicia, they can go, bye, Felicia. Just saying.
Okay. Street Fighter Alpha version, we had Guy. We had Karin, Rose, and Sakura. And then from Red Earth, which is a game that only came out in arcades, you had Leo, Hauser, Hydron, who was called Nul in Japan, and Kenji, who was Mukuro in Japan. And then we had Street Fighter 3 editions of Alex, Chun-Li, Urien, and Yun. The original character was Ingrid, who also came back in Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max on PSP as a time traveler. And, of course, you had your bosses, which was Pyron and Shin Goki. So it had a really, really good soundtrack, too. It had just music from all the various different games and different versions thereof and its own original pieces. But the sad thing is that the game wasn't very well received because of how it seemed like the animation had been cut down. The only really well received character was Ingrid because she actually really did have the most work done for her. And then it was admitted from Yoshinori Ono that the game was a salvaged version of Capcom Fighting All-Stars. And by trying to incorporate the various different styles of all these games, that it was causing a balance issue. And so basically it wouldn't work. So really this game is like Capcom Mugen style. So, but it is worth mentioning because it brought us a character who's shown up in other Capcom games. It was a very, I think, unique take on Capcom's own fighting games. And so it was definitely worth a mention today. So we have Capcom Fighting Evolution, a.k.a. Capcom Fighting Jam.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Capcom Fighting Evolution or Jam, whatever you prefer there. Available
not to be confused with Kuroda Berry Jam, because that was from a different game.
Available on the Xbox, PlayStation 2, and arcade.
Yerp.
Here it is. All right. We've got plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come. We are going to take a break, but when we come back, YYR is going to be here to pull the curtain back on his newest OLR Dream Game creation. I'm so freaking excited. I can't stand it. We're also going to get into rapid fire news, the Fugal question of the week, and more news, and your calls at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. All when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live on this Sunday evening with the 575th episode of our show, already in progress. And I got to tell you, it's been a very busy night so far. We've talked a lot about some of the controversies going on in gaming this week. But you know what? Now we've got some good news coming in, because this is always a hoot and a pleasure to announce when somebody out there takes one of our OLR Dream Games. If you're newer to the show, sometimes we get these crazy fucking ideas for games, and we'll just be like, someone needs to make that game. Like, I think one of the first ones I ever remember was Puzzle Sluts. Somebody said, you know, there needs to be a puzzle game that's just you know,
Puzzle Sluts would be the best.
Exactly. Like, inspired by the 8-bit games. And I don't mean that all the sluts have to be women. Women, men, everything. Cats, dogs,
Pantsless
cats.
Rage.
Exactly. All that could be included. So over the years, the list of dream games has grown and grown and grown. And not that long ago, probably about 2 years ago, a listener by the name of Aaron, or YYR, actually took one of the games from the OLR dream game list called Bungee Ferret Tossing and made it a reality, and it's available on the Xbox Live Indie Arcade.
And it is addicting.
It is. Tonight, he is back to unveil the second, the appropriately number two project for his OLR dream game. It is Aaron, or YYR, and he's there on the line with us tonight. You there? You there, Aaron? Hello? Aaron, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. I am.
Hey,
yeah,
how you doing?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hi, we can hear you. Can you hear us? I hope so.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hooray! How you doing?
not so bad, actually. It's been a really busy couple of weeks, and, this is, not helped, but actually, it didn't take very long to put this game together. It's, obviously very Atari 2600 inspired, mm-hmm. But it was the first thing I thought of when Jamie said pixel shits.
That's right.
Somehow.
You just pulled back the curtain before we went to break here live on your newest game, Pixel Shits, which I don't know. Jamie, when did this ever come? That's the thing, is like sometimes YYR will be like, hey, I made this game based off something you said.
I honestly don't remember.
When did we fucking say that?
But I remembered saying something about, like, if I remember right, I said something about, I think I tried to say pixel something else and said pixel shit instead. So then we started talking
something
about
like that.
Pixel shit and Taco Bell. And then I don't remember.
It was during the Rod Caliber, the same episode where you mentioned Rod Caliber.
Oh, yeah, Rod Caliber.
That was just a few weeks ago.
Because that was Sega Bass Fishing for Classic Game.
Yeah.
So if folks want to check this out, we will link it in the show notes. So if people are looking at this on VOG or whatever, they can check it out. But if they don't have the show notes in front of them, you can head on over to yyrgames.com, and it's /PS. So for pixel shits. So yyrgames.com/PS. And this is an Atari 2600. I've been watching Loki play, by the way. He's been playing all break. Is he still going? Oh, no, he went back into chat.
I had 101.
You had 101. Okay, so to explain what you do in this game, well, I'll let you do it. What is the object of pixel shits?
The object is to shit everywhere. so as to prevent the joggers from getting to from one side of the park, I guess, to the other. Mm-hmm. And they just randomly spawn from, you know, a random side of the screen and run towards the other side, and your only method of attempting to stop them is by shitting. And by hitting the space bar, you can shit. And by the way, I apologize to anyone who's offended by the use of the word shit, but I don't know. But at any rate, yeah, I was given pixel shits to work with, so I went with it.
I can already see the box art now. Like, you need some like, you know, the 2600 box arts were all like these epic paintings and things. And this could be
total,
like,
80s jogger with the sweatband and everything.
Exactly. And it'd be like the
up to the neck and
the
poop.
First video game that encourages you to shit on it. Like,
it should come with a free packet of Metamucil.
Oh, man.
Now, Tiger Claw's asking,
or, you know, a Gym Boys coupon.
Who is doing the pixel shits? Birds? But no,
nope.
It's you.
It's the human
hero.
Shit. This is human fecal matter.
It is the player, yes.
All right.
When you start, the poop meter is at max. Mm-hmm. By the way, the internal Unity object is actually called poop meter. And, you know, as you poop all over the place, it depletes. However, there's a conveniently located Taco Bell in the upper right corner of the screen, pixely Taco Bell. And if you line up alongside it and then just continue mashing the space bar, you will recharge your poop meter by presumably eating. And then you are ready to shit again.
This game is also called Break Your Space Bar, the game.
Yes, I love...
Well, some mashing is required.
I love that it has a very authentic 2600 feel to it. I mean, you might, like, if you go check out Pixel Shits right now, your first reaction is going to be, well, it's probably going to be one of two things. It's probably going to be like, what the fuck? And then it's going to be like, this game is kind of ugly and stupidly simple, but that's the point. Like, a lot of 2600 games were like that. Like, one of my favorite 2600 games, I don't know if you've ever played this one, YYR, there's a game that Activision did. It was called Frostbite. Have you ever played it?
That, I was hoping you'd mention Kaboom.
I do love Kaboom.
Frostbite I have not played.
Okay, that's all right. I love Kaboom, and that's a stupid, simple one, too. That's just collect bombs with the paddle. That's it. These little ugly-ass bombs fall, and you pick them up with a paddle. It's stupidly addicting. But then Frostbite, all you did, you go down the screen by jumping on icebergs. Then you go up the screen. You go down the screen. You go up the screen. It's kind of like Frogger
near
over and over.
Near,
far. Near, and you don't want to fall on the ice is the whole thing. So a lot of the 2600 games are stupid simple. So I love that it's kind of like an homage to that. In fact, I strongly believe that Pixel Shits should be on the Flashback 5. Whenever Atari puts out the Flashback 5, I think Pixel Shits should be there. It's just me. That's just me. So
if anyone cares, the all the sound effects were created on the Korg DS10 synthesizer software. For Nintendo DS.
Oh, wow. So what? Okay.
Korg things make me happy.
Okay. I have to ask, though. I mean, let's take a step back for a minute here. Okay. How did we get from Dark Sakura saying Pixel Shits to where we're at tonight? Walk us through what happened in your mind getting from idea to product.
Well, I was listening to the podcast in my car while I was driving back from a random trip to Jersey, and you know, I hear this, and all I can and she mentions, you know, Pixel Shits and Dream Games. So of course I start thinking, what else am I gonna do? I'm just driving. And I pretty much had the game concept within the minute that I thought that. I mean, it just popped into my head basically.
I'm glad I was inspired. And,
the thing is, like, I've been wanting to learn how to use Unity. And, I mean, I went through, like, you know, a simple demo of roll a ball. Okay, you can roll a ball around and pick up cubes. But I had yet to actually use Unity to create anything of actual substance. So this was a great excuse to get started with Unity 2D. And so I threw this together, you know, an hour here, an hour there over the course of about 2 weeks. And that's it. And I finished it early today.
Well, that's kind of funny because the story behind when Bobby created Flappy Vog a few months ago was very similar. It was kind of like, I need a project to learn Unity. So here you go, Flappy Vog. And now we've got this. So we helped you learn all about Unity.
You did.
And how did
you guys did me a favor?
That's awesome. So now you can make a game that maybe won't have an offensive title for some people, right?
Warrior Bob is now the best shitter in chat.
Warrior Bob just got 373 shits. So
now Bobby's number two.
Holy shit!
All right,
oh
and,
my god,
folks,
that should be the sequel. Holy
I'm
shit!
Be back in chat after this, but I need to know: is the game too easy? Because.
Yeah, we're kind
if
of
if it is, I can certainly change that, but or make a hard version. But
we're beta testing this a little bit here. And Pow again asking the site for the game. That's yyrgames.com/ps. And you guys have to check this out. It's too damn funny.
Maybe we need power ups, and we'll make the game harder and have power ups for like explosive diarrhea.
Don't get crazy. Don't get crazy.
And don't forget about the slippery piles of pee.
Oh, you guys are nasty, nasty people. All right. But let me ask this on a serious note.
They should have like other things other than joggers, like little like squirrels or like dogs or something like that. Maybe the dogs eat the shit.
And
the
dogs poo-poo, right? Will you knock it off of that shit? All right.
I like the idea of the shit-eating dog.
You guys are so stupid. All right, but what
you
else?
Hang with us. What's that say about you?
What else are you working on these days, YYR? Because Pixel Shits, you're not going to make any money off this. What?
I don't know, man. No, you put this on iOS. I think you can make some money.
The thing is, though, on iOS, how would you control this with the Twitch precise precision that you would need? I mean, I guess I could be like tap the upper part of the screen to move up, tap the lower part of the screen to move down.
Use the,
I don't know. I guess it might work.
Accelerometer.
But would it pass Apple's certification?
Yeah, that might be a problem. You might have to go Android.
No comment.
All right.
But as far as what else I'm working on, really the main thing I'm working on these days has nothing to do with game development at all. It's preparing my apartment because although I know I mentioned to you guys that I was looking for a job out there in San Francisco, it turns out my fiance felt that she had been waiting too long, so she started looking for a job out here. I applied to 15 or so places, and within 2 months of her starting to look, the New York Public Library offered her a position.
Oh,
so she's actually moving here on Friday.
Wow.
Well, congrats.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm bummed out to see you're not going to end up on this coast after all, but I'm happy for you at the end result. That'll be great.
Well, I know we will be back to visit, so we may yet be able to play that game of Bishibashi.
Awesome. Bochikawa has an idea, by the way, for iOS controls. Tap the screen to move, but yell at it to shit.
Oh, my God. Your voice would go dead within minutes.
Shit! Oh God! All right.
Maybe it's one of those things in there that's like intended to be a novelty where you can use it, but it's probably not the best idea.
All right. So YYR, are there any Easter eggs in the game we should know of?
Actually, there are absolutely none. But I will say this much: one thing that will definitely improve your performance, if you will. If you leave a lot of the medium-sized shits around, you know, enough for the jogger to get stuck in it for a couple of seconds, but not enough to stop them, you can go and basically crap on the jogger while they're stuck in the medium shit and make it big.
So you can actually, cover the jogger in shit, in a way.
Well, I mean, the effect is the same as if they had just run into a big one.
Gotcha.
But basically, you can cover more places with medium shits than large shits in the same amount of time. So you could just kind of leave medium shits in places, and then as long as you can get to it before the jogger gets free, you can add to it and then trap them.
And then you can imagine the joggers are your enemies and take a shit on them.
When somebody asks me, what have you accomplished?
And by the way, I have nothing against joggers.
when somebody asks me
to be there.
When somebody asks me, Rob, what have you accomplished in 12 and a half years of Orange Lounge Radio? I'm just going to send him this little snippet of us talking about Pixel Shits.
I endorse this activity.
That's right. Well, YYR, I do have to let you go so we can move on with the show, but I do encourage people to check out Pixel Shits. It was clearly a project you did out of love. You are truly doing the Lord's work, my friend.
Well, thank you. I don't know which Lord exactly, but...
Dark Sakura, clearly. All.
Bless you, my child.
As long as you keep mentioning ideas for dream games, I'm going to keep listening. So just be careful about what you say.
That's amazing. All right. We will try. Now, we've got to be careful because we don't want to be like every week, be like, oh, that's a dream game. Oh, that's a dream game. Because then that's going to jump the shark. We have to make sure that our dream game ideas are carefully selected. That's
like
so
Pixel Shits.
To this part, like Pixel Shits. All right. Well, best of luck.
By the way, I would encourage anyone else who wants to, you know, get a started programming to also go ahead and listen to Orange Lounge Radio for dream game ideas. Go ahead and make games.
You don't. Oh no, we're losing you a little bit. You don't have to clone games that are already out there. Make our shit.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
We can think of some real shit.
All right. YYR, I'm going to let you go so we can get back into some news. But you are so amazing, my friend. Thank you so much.
Hey, I have to live up to your standards of being amazing. I love you guys.
Oh, stop. We love you too. All right,
we
take care, buddy.
We love you too.
All right, later.
Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Bye. Unfortunately, Skype wasn't cooperating there at the end of the call, but that's all right. Still a pleasure to hear from YYR, and that's so adorable that he's going to be moving in with a fiance Friday. That's no pressure whatsoever. That's great. Please, if you do believe that we do, that Aaron is doing the Lord's work, please consider supporting his other projects that do make him money, because he's not going to make shit off of Pixel Shits, but he will make some money off of just a little bit of money off of like Bungee Ferret Tossing and Falling and Snake 360 and some of his other projects that are available. You can read all about all of those games at yyrgames.com. Meanwhile, have fun shitting, everybody. All right, let's get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
Okay. It's hard to come off of that, but let's it's so easy to make this transition, but okay, we're going to do it. Okay. Speaking of shit, Nintendo's got some more Miiwos going to be coming out here.
Not nice. Yellow flag, Loki.
No. Yeah, they're showing off the second kind of wave of amiibos that are supposed to hit around February of next year. Includes, let's see here, Lucario, Rosalina, and Luma, Bowser, Toon Link, Sheik, Ike, Meta Knight, and King Dedede. And of course, also they're going to have, Shulk, Sonic, and Mega Man as well. Those I think are supposed to, they don't really have firm dates yet for North America, but to give you an example in Europe, everything up to Meta Knight, Sonic, and King Dedede is supposed to be out January 23rd, and the rest are coming up February 20th. Toon Link is, I guess, compatible with Mario Kart 8 and Hyrule Warriors, as well as Sheik is also supposed to be compatible with Hyrule Warriors. And then I'm not really sure about the rest yet. I'm assuming those would be Smash. The only thing is, North America, you're kind of getting screwed a little bit, because if you want to get Shulk, then you're going to have to do business with GameStop. Because once again, Nintendo's thought, hey, it's going to be a great idea. Let's go ahead and make them exclusive to GameStop. So thanks. That's fantastic. Let's see. And I guess, what else? I guess that's it. And of course, each of those is going to be $12.99. So, not bad.
I think it was funny that just last week we were talking about like third party amiibos. Like, I remember this coming up. Like, what if third parties would start making their own amiibos? And sure enough, like within the week, Sonic and Mega Man.
Yeah, but those are just Smash Brothers still. That's not really a third party thing.
Still, though, the fact that they're figurines and Smash Bros. I mean, the figurines is another thing that had to be licensed and talk about and acquired. I mean, it's not just like, oh, because you're in Smash Brothers, we get to do all this shit with your character.
I don't know. I was going to mention, though, I don't think we were talking about tonight because it wasn't really that big of a deal, but they were saying there was like a little tease I saw that saying that the next, Zelda Majora's Mask is going to play differently on, you know, the new 3DS, but we're not telling you how. It's fucking amiibo support. I'm telling you right now, that's what it is. It's fucking amiibo support, because that shit supports near field communication. That's what it is. It's not anything fantastic. So whatever. Okay. This is kind of cool. I saw this and I was like, fuck yes. Just Cause 3 announced to be coming out next year on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And it's going to be on the cover of Game Informer next month. That is awesome. I've been waiting a long time for Just Cause 3. And you know, Just Cause 2 is fantastic. Hopefully we get some multiplayer in there. And hopefully it's as awesome as Just Cause... I forget what they called it, the multiplayer mod on PC, where you can play up to 1,000 people at a time. Sounds fucking awesome. But yeah, next year, so I'm assuming we'll see something about that during E3. And they're telling us it's coming, but I'm still skeptical until I actually see it out. But Rockstar seeing that Grand Theft Auto Online will be getting heist shortly after the launch of
the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions. Quoted, you know, we know you're all excited for more updates to come, and we've got some really exciting stuff in the works and continue adding and expanding and involving the world of Grand Theft Auto Online, including the highly anticipated launch of Online Heist, which will be available on all four consoles as of the first as the first Grand Theft Auto Online update to happen after the game launches on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I hope that's true, because it's been delayed several times. So, yeah.
All right, you need this online heist to happen.
Yeah. After all, it was promised for, you know, before the game even came out. So
true.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of Grand Theft Auto V, some Black Friday deals are starting to show up because, you know, the crazy shopping hysteria day in America is next Friday, right? No, not this coming Friday, but the Friday after, but it's like 2 weeks away, right? Okay, so we're getting close. If you're the type that's going to go out and wait in the line all freaking night and get your little redemption slip and, I don't know, pull out weaves trying to get to, you know, the best deals in the store, then good luck. Me, I'm more of a Cyber Monday person. I'll sit in my pajama bottoms with my cup of coffee and try to stuff online.
Isn't this around the time when we expect another Steam sale?
Oh, of course. Of course.
I'm not ready.
Thanksgiving. I know. Well, here's the good news. It won't be the huge one. That'll be winter. That'll be the winter sale that takes place across. But they'll do like a Black Friday sale at Cyber Monday. They'll do something.
Cyber Monday.
Absolutely. Anyway, Black Friday deals. PlayStation blog revealed that there are some $399.99 bundles for PlayStation 4 that will have some different included games. One will have a disc-based copy of Grand Theft Auto V and a download voucher for The Last of Us Remastered. The second will have a physical copy of Lego Batman 3 Beyond Gotham and a voucher for Little Big Planet 3. So those are going to be available especially for Black Friday. So, I mean, if you think about it, two games, and those are kind of newer games. You know, those aren't like years old. It's not like you're getting Knack or something that's kind of last year's news. Those are very recent games, so that's like $100 worth of games being thrown in there. So that's how they... That's how they are justifying the price there. Pretty cool. Also, some Black Friday discounts unveiled on PlayStation TVs and PlayStation 3s. Amazon and GameStop both going to be offering PlayStation TVs for $80 and PlayStation 3s for $200. This will be throughout the holiday season, but is temporary and first come, first served. So, wow, if you're in the market for a PlayStation TV, this might be the time to take the plunge on one of those. Many of you last week took the plunge on Valkyria Chronicles on Steam. In fact, Valkyria Chronicles was released on Steam and PC, and during the first 24 hours, apparently became number one, beating Assassin's Creed Unity for a short period of time. I'm not sure how things have played out in the week since then, but obviously Valkyria Chronicles doing very well on PC, and that's great because on PlayStation 3, I think a lot of people missed it. So the fact that this game's getting a second chance on PC is pretty cool, and a lot of people are supporting it. So good job, y'all. You're not going to be able to support this, but you know what, guys? It was probably crap. There was a Family Guy game that was in development for the Wii and the Nintendo 3DS. This was called Back to the Multiverse. It was being developed by Heavy Iron Studios. It was originally on the PC, the PlayStation, and the Xbox 360, but the Wii version was then dropped and the 3DS version quickly after, probably just because, I mean...
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was coming out on those platforms.
A Wii game, yeah, I didn't even know the game came out on other platforms, and the Wii in 2012 is, you know, already kind of, you know, yeah. It probably was for the best. Sorry, guys. Dark Sakura.
It was for the best because apparently that game sucked.
Yeah,
so.
What a surprise.
The other thing I was going to mention, though, I don't know if you mentioned that the PlayStation TV discounts, that's effective now. You don't even have to wait till Black Friday.
Oh, shit. That's great.
Yeah, it's already at Amazon and GameStop, I think, it's already those prices.
Well, we have some different Nintendo news. Actually, a little bit of a report about the Zelda Wii U version. Aonuma says that it's actually even better than before the previous announcement. It looks a lot better, a lot prettier, and they said there's going to be a lot more coming up for the next E3. So that's pretty good. I know a lot of people have been excited about it. And then Captain Toad Treasure Tracker almost had Link in it. Actually, when they did the demo of the game, they needed to use a character that wasn't in the Mario franchise because it was trying to do a non-jumping character. So they used Link, and Miyamoto thought they were actually going to have it as a Link game. So that, of course, didn't happen that way. And then, last but not least, we do have some news about Super Smash Brothers. It is the Wii U's most pre-ordered game to date. Lots of people wants it, and I know that the handheld one was super awesome, so I can only imagine what the console version is like. So there you go. Actually, it's supposed to be out on November 21st in North America and the 28th in Europe. So there you go.
I'm looking forward to that. I think we're going to be talking about that game a little bit on next week's show. Call it a hunch, but I think that game's going to come up a little bit. All right, let's get to the Foogle question of the week. It's Radio Gold. You take Facebook and Google Plus and you throw those words in a blender and you get Foogle. And it's where we ask our two social communities at facebook.com/orangeloungeradio and google.com/plusorangeloungeradio. We ask them a question and we say, hey, you should answer this so we can get your feedback on the air. This week we decided to ask about Amiibo because, you know, Amiibo was kind of a mystery for a while. We didn't know a whole lot about it. We figured it was Nintendo's ripoff of Skylanders. But now that we know the full picture on what Amiibo is really all about, we want to check in with listeners and say, you know, are you into it? Do you just want the figures? What's your stance on Amiibo? Have you pre-ordered or are you saying no way? So let's check in. We'll go over to Google first. And ActDev says, at first, I was skeptical on whether these were a good idea or not. But after the two latest Nintendo Directs, I got sold on them. I have two reserved. One is Yoshi. I'll let you guess on who's the other one. And if you don't know ActDev, I'm just going to tell you his avatar is a little stuffed Kirby. So just, you know, take that for what it is. Redertainment says, remember our discussion from a couple weeks ago about buying in-game content supposedly free games? I feel Amiibos are similarly unnecessary to enhance the gaming experience, but feel peer pressure will press on gamers to buy the Amiibos. Also, my iPad corrects Amiibos to Amigos. Well, it hasn't learned the word Amiibos yet, because remember, now the iOS is going to learn what you like to say. Let's check out on Facebook. Critical Myth says, I'm still not sure what the Amiibo thing is supposed to really do. At least Skylanders and Disney Infinity have a clear use for the figures, even if it's a total cash grab. This just has the cash grab feel to it. Well, Critical Myth, you're probably not alone in that. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, Skylanders is one game. Well, I take that. It's more than one game, but it's one series where essentially all those figures do the same thing in those games. Amiibos vary from game to game to game. So I think that's what's causing people to not really get it. Like, it is one thing in Smash Brothers, but then, like, in Mario Kart, it gives you a suit for your racer. Whoopee! You know what I mean?
Stupid.
Yeah, so I think in some games, the value is much more than others.
But here's the thing. It's like, and that's what I understand with that. It's like, it's almost like that shit was going to be free anyways, but now it's tied to this figure that they want you to buy.
Right. Well, but at the end of the day, too, they're just outfits, you know? I'll get to how I feel about this when we hear from some more listeners here. Seattle replies and says, not sure what they're supposed to be used for and why. Depending on their purpose and build quality, I might be talked into getting one or two. Sounds like Nintendo might need to get some more info out there besides just those directs, or maybe, you know, not force people to watch the entire direct to understand what Amiibos are all about. Dark Charger says, as a lifelong Nintendo fan, I'm picking up some figures primarily for their looks and for collecting. The added functionality is pretty much just a small bonus. Erica M. replied and said, I think they're so cute. Can't wait to get some. Dark Tetsuya said, I'll likely try to pick one or two when I get Smash Brothers this week, even though there doesn't seem to be much to do with them outside of Smash yet. One idea I had was saving your character, parts, cart config, and Mario Kart 8 to the figure so you wouldn't have to remember what exact parts you use in-game at a friend's house. Like the Wiimotes used to do for the regular Wii. Had the little.
They still do that.
They still do that. It's just very few games use it, right?
Yeah.
Like saving your info to the controller. Tom S. replied and said, I'm going to collect all the Zelda-related Amiibos because I am a junkie for anything Zelda-related. Brad B says, this is a slippery slope. I'd better steer clear of them totally. I made the mistake of starting with the Marvel Disney Infinity figures and Stitch, who snuck into my car to checkout, and those suckers are like crack for a completionist like me. That's true. If you are the type that has to have everything, be careful. Renji2214 says, I'm thinking about picking some of them up after the release because I think for the price, the figures look pretty decent along with being able to be used with Smash. Winston H. replied and said, personally, I don't really care for the amiibo. I don't see any real reason to purchase something like this unless you're a big collector or you like your Skylander-like products. Rageinator says, I suppose they're neat if you're into gaming-themed paraphernalia, be it the amiibos, the old-school Nintendo comics, or whatever, but I don't think the amiibos are a must-have. Usurping Slurpee replies and says, what the fuck is an amiibo? They're for Nintendo? Who cares? I haven't played a Nintendo console since N64 was still relevant. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a hater. Sound the hater alarms. We've got a hater. I'm just teasing. I am very angry, and I'm going to post on the internet. No, I'm making fun. You know what? You're not the only one, actually. So there's other people out there that feel similarly. But by not at least trying some of the GameCube stuff, there was some really sweet games on GameCube. I mean, if you've been out of loop since N64, at least visit the GameCube. At least visit that. All right. Krylo responds and said, going off the pictures I've seen here and there, I think they look beautiful. As for collecting them, I only plan on buying the ones I like. And lastly, Hitstun says, sure, I'll buy one so I can try some amiibo stuff. I'll have to do the research to find which amiibos are compatible with the most games. There's the answers from Facebook and Google+. You know what's interesting? Not a single person who said, I'm getting them all. I would have thought there was at least one like Uber Nintendo fanboy who said, I'm getting them all. I have to have them all. Got to catch them all. But anyway, as I was going to tell Loki a minute ago, I think I felt similar to the people who said, I want to just get them because they're cute little figures, and the fact that they tie into some games is like a little bonus. And I think that's kind of my stance on it, is that I want the Samus figure, and I'll probably have to get that Mega Man figure for sure. And there'll be some other figures here and there where it's like, oh, I just want the figure because it looks cute.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only reason I could see wanting one of those is just the figure. But they haven't really given us a reason that we need to have these. It's not like Skylanders in Disney Infinity, like I said, where it seems to be necessary to play
with
those.
But at the same time, I don't want Nintendo going down that path either. I actually kind of like that Nintendo kind of turns the amiibo into, it unlocks a skin here, a weapon here. Like, it's little things where it's like, okay, it's a little enhancement, but it's still something.
But, like, they even haven't really discussed too much about, like, training your character in Smash Brothers or what exactly that does. I mean, it's just kind of, it's like, ooh, it's a figure, but it kind of does some other things, too. I mean, that's really all it is.
I would like to see more of, and what I think would be really cool is if the amiibos really function between all the different games. I'd like to see more about how will it work between games. Like, if I make progression in Smash Brothers, can I use my amiibo in another game, and it rewards me for what I've done in Smash Brothers with that amiibo? Like, I think that... It would be a really... Okay, Nintendo's lacking a trophy or achievement system or thing like that right now. The amiibos might be a neat way to explore that a little bit.
I'd be down if they did something like that. I just don't think they're going to do something like that. I think they're going to talk it up big, like they did, like with the whole you can put your Miis on the Wii remote and bring them with you type thing. They're going to talk it up big, and then they're not going to do anything with it. Or like, you know, how they had this really cool functionality with MP3s and stuff being able to be played on the Wii for Excite Truck, and then fuck it, we're just going to totally forget about it, except for the one Undersea game we had. It's just, I don't know. They come up with these cool ideas, and they never do anything with them.
Pow in chat says at live.vognetwork.com, Pow says, if amiibo unlocked a big part of the game, gamers will rage on the internet. It's absolutely true. Fifth Dream says, like, you can't catch them all unless you buy an amiibo. Fuck that. It's true. Jonas, haven't checked in with you in a little while. What do you play a lot of the Wii U stuff, and a lot of it is very popular on the anime circuit. How do you think amiibos might change things up a little bit? Do you see people bringing their amiibos to anime conventions to be like, I've got to play my villager in Animal Crossing?
It might be possible, but again, I'm not really sure how amiibos will work on the anime conventions. We'll allow it and see how it works. Yeah. For my own personal benefit, it's more like, so far it's just collectors. I don't know what Nintendo is going to do in terms of support, like everyone's saying. Let's say if or if, let's say buy a Mario will for every game like Mario Kart, Mario 3D World, and all the other games and stuff? Or what if I wanted to use it for like even a Zelda game just for shits and giggles?
They're gonna put out a ton of Pokemon amiibos, and they're gonna have a fucking carrying case. I guarantee it.
That
looks like a fucking Pokeball.
I don't see Nintendo putting out 151 Pokemon amiibos though. That seems like too
much. That's overkill.
They may not put them out all of them, but they're gonna put out a ton of them. And I guarantee you, that's gonna be one of the things. Like, look, you can train your own. It's like having your own Pokemon. You train them, and then you bring them to battle. Boom, put it down, and just.
Yeah, I could see it going that
way,
too.
What I'm also maybe concerned with, just for game development's perspective, what if they do, like, an on-disc DLC, quote-unquote? Oh, you can either pay $4 for that thing or use your amiibo to get it for free kind of thing.
I don't see Nintendo going down that path because Nintendo is not the $4 DLC type of company. You know, and we mentioned that earlier in the show, is that a lot of the DLC that Nintendo has done so far, I mean, anything can happen, but a lot of the DLC Nintendo has done so far has been very rich in what it's doing. And I'm okay that these amiibos just do little things in the game. Like, you know, okay, I get a custom suit for my racer in Mario Kart. That's not a big deal. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's a fine little, like, oh, okay, little enhancement. I mean, is that on-disc DLC? Sort of. I think it was patched in, technically. But it's so minor in the big scope of things. And I do like that the one figure will work in several games. That is kind of neat. That's something that Skylanders and Disney Infinity don't necessarily have. I mean, they do work in several games in the same series. But even Skylander finds ways to make you buy new shit for the same series every year. Like, you know, oh, this year they're going to swap, and the top halves and the bottom halves are switchable. Or, you know, what is it this year? The trap team or something?
You have these stupid trap crystals that you can trap enemies in and play as the enemies. And
yeah. A little much. All right. So there you go. Thank you guys for your feedback there. And be very curious in a couple weeks to check in and see how much you guys have used them, or if they're just sitting on your shelf looking pretty, which I suppose is okay because they are figurines. They're meant to do that. In the meantime, let's get back into some other gaming news. We will be taking your calls here in a little while at 1-877-GAME-OLR or username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. But first, Loki.
So this is kind of cool. Even though the official Nintendo magazine has shut down, Nintendo UK has gone ahead and put out a digital magazine called Nintendo Extra. And so now you can, you know, check that out to find out all the latest Nintendo information. It's pretty much just an advertisement piece, but it's still kind of neat, though, that they're doing some sort of an official magazine type thing. I don't know. But yeah, I guess you can check it out now. Let's see, nintendo.co.uk/miscellaneous/Nintendo Extra. I'm sure they've got a link on the front page though for it. So,
all right. So you can check. Is that something I could like actually look at on my Wii U tablet or something? Makes sense.
Probably. It's just an HTML page. I mean, they've got, you know, some of the things that are in Nintendo Extra issue 1, stuff about Smash Brothers. It looks like a big old advertising stuff. They have a how to play, you know, Mario Kart, or, you know, Adventures in Walleye Tumble Temple, Captain Toad comic. You know, I don't know. It's just a big advertisement.
All right. Well, get your tinfoil hats ready, everybody, because here's a big one. And I feel like this kind of comes up, like every year we get a rumor on this, but it is gaining steam yet again, as some folks have noticed that there is a trademark that you can actually view for yourself on the USPTO.gov website. You can look this up. It is a trademark for Microsoft for what? Battletoads. Battletoads has been trademarked by Microsoft. Now, see, here's the thing, though, is I kind of feel like, well, this could just be them protecting their property and renewing the trademark because maybe they want to do something someday. It doesn't mean that they're doing something now, right this minute, but they don't want somebody else coming in and doing a Battletoads game just because they let it lapse. By the way, if you forgot, Battletoads was an NES game, and I believe had a Game Boy version as well. And the NES
and arcade.
Version.
Huh? And arcade.
And arcade.
They had many variants, like either for the Sega Genesis
and Super Nintendo.
Oh, that's right.
Which is the easier version of the NES version.
Which was all Rare that did that, but then Rare was, of course, picked up by Microsoft several years ago, so which is why you have Killer Instinct on Xbox One and so on.
But I don't know if they could file a trademark for something that they're not going to use, because you have to show that you're using that trademark in order to be able to register the trademark.
That's hard to say, because I remember this was an issue with, quote, Killer Instinct at the time.
I just know that because I looked in the registering trademarks. So, so in order to, you have to show that you're using the trademark in order to actually register said trademark.
I don't,
as I understand.
I don't see why they wouldn't try doing something like this, but that doesn't mean it's going to necessarily be the game you expect either. I mean, this could be like a kid-friendly property for all we know.
Fuck no.
Well, oh, hell no, hell
I'm
no.
I'm just saying.
It can be kid-friendly, but it better beat the shit out of you when you play it, because it's got to be hard.
I don't know. Again, I am literally pulling this out of my ass. Nobody knows anything on this. This is all just fanfic based on a trademark, literally. So... But the potential, or the possibilities and the potential here is pretty exciting, if nothing else.
As long as the game is hard as shit and you have the queen as the final boss, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people really attached to the characters. And, you know, the original NES version had those cinematics that were, you know, for at the time, were pretty epic. You know, I don't know, but it's also been like a good 20 years since
I like Super Battletoads. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Super Battletoads is cool. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, we have some stuff. Now, this one is, I would say, a near and dear one for us anyway. We've been big supporters of GamerX, right? And, well, this has been associated with GamerX, I would probably say, pretty tightly. So, but
technically, it's the same company. Midboss puts on GamerX, and then this is, like, their first game, which is basically... Matt Kahn and their brainchild. Yeah.
Well, as I was getting to.
And his people. It's not just him, but his people.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the playable demo of Read Only Memories is out. And you can get it online. It's for Windows, Linux, and OS X. And basically, they want you to try it out and tweet back to @ROM2064 and let them know what you think. There's a pre-order available on Humble Bundle and the Ouya store, because there will also be an Ouya version, although there's not a demo for the Ouya yet. You can get your copy at Mega Limited. It's I'm trying to get the direct address, but I don't have it there. But we'll have to get it for you guys and put it somewhere for you guys to... play the demo,
or just Google it. You can find it there. Look up their Twitter.
Do the Google thing.
All over.
So, but yeah, pretty cool. I'm excited because yay.
Yeah, it's inspired. If you didn't know, the game is inspired by Snatcher, pretty heavily, and some of those more cinematic games from the past. So,
Total cyberpunk game.
Don't download this expecting like next gen graphics, because that's not what you're going to get. But this is more a story driven type.
Think
of game.
Sega CD.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll have to check that out. I didn't get a chance to do that this week, but maybe I will do that soon. All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So this is interesting. I don't know, kind of since we were talking a little bit about, you know, Microsoft maybe bringing back old properties, but Killer Instinct apparently was originally supposed to be for Xbox 360. They even had, like, a Killer Instinct prototype build that was being shown off, and they have some footage now online for it. I guess I'm not surprised, and actually didn't look that bad. Although they do have some like placeholder things, like I guess Chief Thunder kind of looks like this weird silvery humanoid thing instead of, you know, Chief Thunder. But pretty cool, and yeah, you can check it out on YouTube. They've got some footage of it. Killer Instinct prototype for Xbox 360.
Yeah, you have to wonder if maybe at one point this could have been something we saw on the 360.
I wouldn't be surprised. It makes sense that they, you know, put it on Xbox One to kind of bolster up, you know, the lineup that they had coming out at launch.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
All right. Let's see. Moving on to this. This is a game. You know, it seems like between Battletoads and Killer Instinct, we've got a little segment here made up of retro games that people love. And I know a lot of people have a lot of love in their hearts for Earthbound, right? Or Mother, if you will, that series over in Japan, which we knew as Earthbound. Well, did you know? I didn't know this. The game was apparently number 10 on the Wii U eShop charts last week, higher than Zelda A Link to the Past, Shovel Knight, and Super Mario Brothers. So, I mean, Earthbound is still performing. I mean, this game that's years and years old, still performing well today, which is funny because it didn't perform so well when it was out in the States the first time, but that's neither here nor there. Apparently, Fangamer had an upcoming documentary, CD, book, and e-zine project on this, and it's doing very well, and it's collecting over $200,000 with 6 days of its Kickstarter campaign left. So, with the money, Fangamer is going to throw an Earthbound or Mother convention next summer. That's right, an Earthbound. You gonna pack up the teabagger gear and head to the Earthbound convention, Jonas? Well, here's the thing.
Oh my.
It is intentionally going to be a small event, only about 450 attendees. 300 of the tickets will be made available to backers first, and the rest of the 150, they're hoping won't sell out instantly, but they probably will. Let's
Where's
be real.
Where's this location supposed to be?
I haven't seen yet. I'm actually going to look here at the Kickstarter page to see where it's at. The convention was their stretch goal for 200K. And they're, oh, here it is, Tucson, Arizona at the Hilton Tucson East. You could drive it. That's a bitch of a drive, but you could do it. It's about a 10-11 hour drive to get to Tucson. So,
not bad.
I didn't think about it. I'm volunteering Jonas's service. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But that would be fun. That'd be fun. The main event, the Earthbound Bash. 2 days of playing a 20-year-old RPG for charity. Oh, that's cool. They're doing it all for charity. Ticket price is $50. They're also going to have retro gaming rooms. Somebody's doing it, Jonas. Live music performances, panels, and more. That's really cool. I mean, even though it's going to be a small to do, that's really cool for fans of Earthbound. Tucson, Arizona. That is an interesting place.
And when is the date supposedly?
When is it? July 18th and 19th, 2015. Saturday and Sunday, and a possible pre-party on Friday night. Ooh. So there it is. A summer convention in Tucson, Arizona. You will not be going outdoors during this time. I can guarantee you that. That is for damn sure. That sounds like fun. Would you go to an Earthbound convention, Dark Sakura? Would you consider that?
I might.
Fun. That might be fun. Let's see. If you need some special speakers, I know some people that have an affinity for Earthbound.
I hear Bose makes good speakers.
That's right. All right. Well, Dark Sakura is going to do some speaking right now. She dives into the email bag.
It's all sticky.
Every week, you guys email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to participate with the show. Again, that's participate@orangeloungeradio.com.
Well, I just got freaking logged out again, so whatever.
Oh, no.
It just keeps happening over and over. I'm sick of this.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to be replacing my iPad soon.
Woohoo.
With,
That's right. Weren't you thinking about getting mine? Because I'm thinking
actually getting a MacBook Pro in 2 weeks.
Oh, lucky you. That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, well, Darkstalker's getting logged in there, and you can send your emails if you want. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Remember, if you're a podcast listener, which thank you for checking out the show. I know you can't be in the live chat room and participate that way, but you can always email us. You can also tweet us, twitter.com/OLR. And you know what? We even read random messages sent to us on Facebook. We do. I mean, we don't always respond to every one of them, but we read them.
All right. Well, are we ready for the first of the mails?
All right, we are. There's more than one email tonight?
There are two.
Oh, and I looked earlier. It was just one. All right.
Hey, guys and gals. Ingram AV98 here. Once again, I keep putting off emailing as a podcast listener. I don't get to enjoy the musical gifts that you bestow on us when there are no emails to read. As I listen, you're threatening the Star Wars music. So now this is the get out of jail free card. I was listening to another podcast and someone mentioned the subject of growing up. Now the hosts have kids, are married or whatever, and their gaming diets and habits have changed somewhat. It made me think how I have changed and what I look for when gaming. This, of course, led me to think about the future, as I've never thought about stopping my gaming hobby. When I start a family, I hope to share this with my children, and currently I share it with my girlfriend, as she has a casual interest. I like to think that even when I hit retirement, I'll still be gaming, still schooling the kids on Halo 30 Super Gold Turbo Anniversary Edition on my Y-Box 1080. gaming for a much older generation is not something anybody really talks about, but it is something we will probably face at some point. Sensibilities and priorities will change, but hopefully not our desire to explore, compete, or socialize, which is essentially the basic motivations behind gaming. Back in the UK, I know some care homes for the elderly introduced the Wii because of the motion controls and how it encourages more physical activity. And in Japan, the DS XL was popular among pensioners as a way to keep the mind active. Have any of you thought about your gaming in the future? How huge will Jamie's gaming vault get in 20 to 30 years? Will Loki have retired because will Loki have retired because his game and its sequels are raking in the cash? And will Rob have started even more podcasts? We spend a lot of time.
We spend a lot of time
thinking about where gaming is moving to in terms of an industry, but us gamers shape that in many ways. We don't really look at ourselves in that future. More importantly, will we still be able to listen to the show in 30 years, or will you have sold the movie rights to an aging Michael Bay for a blockbuster origin story? It's always great to hear you all in the community every week, so thanks for everything. And that's Ingram AV98
from Dusseldorf. Rob Roberts stars in Don't Fuck With Me, Ferret. All right.
Well, I will go ahead and speak about the vault that Dan and I have actually talked about downsizing it. And then we actually had decent room for the vault, so now we're talking about rebuilding it. We're actually talking about how we can get every single video game system we own hooked up at the same time on Switch boxes.
Wow.
And if they will fit on those weird cube-shaped IKEA shelves.
So when our emailer asks about where are you going to be with gaming in 30 years, I mean, it's kind of like gaming is in your blood at this point. Whereas maybe you may not have as much as the physical shit, like if life causes you to have to downsize things or whatever, that's one thing. But like, there's always going to be that part of you that has an appreciation for games, right? I mean, that's kind of like what you and Dan sometimes bond over. I know Alan and I do.
Yeah, well, I mean,
while we were long distance dating, we played World of Warcraft a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, when Dan and I first met each other online, our big bonding point was bad fan fiction. And, you know, we had our mutual love of anime. You know, it was right when anime started to go kind of mainstream. And we were, you know, would watch episodes of Ranma together on the VCR next to the computer. And Dragon Ball Z fan subs were the big thing, especially the Hecto fan subs. You old school people should know this. But we also would talk about video games and whatnot. And when I moved out here, the first thing I unpacked was my Super Nintendo. And Dan was like, I'm in love, at least as far as my translation of it went. So,
right.
You know, that brought us together, and we've been playing. We keep playing. We haven't really gotten many of the new things. But we're probably still going to keep playing together. At least our old games are still going to get some love.
I think it's pretty impressive how fast technology progresses. So when you talk about like gaming in 20 to 30 years, there's a few factors at play. I mean, like, if you go back 20 years, you're what, the 1990s? And I imagine most of our listeners are old enough where they remember the 1990s. You may have been a child during the 1990s, but you probably have some memories of the 90s, such as when cell phones were the size of your face. Or they were just car phones because they were on a big brick that was in your car. And now cell phones are stronger than like 50 of the computers from 20 years ago in the palm of your hand. I mean, that's how much technology has progressed in 20 years. So in 20 more years, think about that. You're going to have 20 times the power of the desktop computers in the palm of your hand. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – the technology is going to keep progressing so rapidly, like, who knows? And we always kind of joke here at OLR, gaming always gets one step closer to the holodeck. But I kind of believe that. Like, I think there's a distinct possibility in 20 to 30 years. I mean, it may not be the way we imagine it on, like, sci-fi TV and stuff, on, like, Star Trek. But I sort of think gaming is moving closer and closer to those sorts of experiences. I mean, look at the Oculus Rift. Look at Aluma Room and things like that. I mean, think about how much that's going to progress in just like 20 years.
Well, SSJ100 Matt said, gaming 30 years from now, we'll still be waiting for Half-Life 3. And then Fifth Dream says, I remember the 70s firsthand.
Yeah.
And all I had to say in response is this. I had an 8-track player. I could repair said 8-track player when I was 3 years old, so I could listen to my Muppets 8-track.
See, I was born in 78, so I can't really say that I remember the 70s, but baby. I sure remember the 80s.
Baby.
I sure remember the 80s. let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says there's more computing power in your iPhone than there was on the space shuttle. So all that aside, I really do believe that gaming is getting one step closer to the holodeck. Let me give you an example of that it might not be what you think it is today. Speaking of remembering the 80s, big cartoon that they played a lot in the 80s, and they probably played a lot in the 60s and 70s, was the Jetsons. And one of the big things in the Jetsons was video phone calls. And remember, that was the wave of future. And I remember reading about that in computing magazines in the 1980s, was video phone calls. Someday, you're going to be able to call people, and you're going to see what they look like. You pick up your phone, you dial somebody, and you're going to see the video projected on the wall. Well, we have that. We have video calling in the palm of your hand.
And no one cares.
FaceTime, Skype. So we find it's interesting now that it's there. It's not as commonplace as maybe we thought it was on the Jetsons.
Like computers on your wrist.
Yeah, right. Like I find that people, instead of doing voice or video calls, what do they want to do? They want a text message. That ended up being like, I don't need to be seen right now. I'll just text message. That seems to be the thing that most people opt for. However, Loki, you can't deny that FaceTime and Skype and all that stuff has its uses, such as showing off a baby to a relative on the other coast, or a deaf person being able to communicate, you know, more with folks over telephone technology, and so on, you know?
Well, we even now, again, I really don't talk about where I work, but I mean, we have it incorporated now with the technology where there are voice and guided recognition for the blind to use the devices.
Yeah.
You know, and then conversely, there's also increased image improvement, you know, contrast change, different ways to make it easier for people who have poor vision or might be losing their vision. So it's got gradated steps. And I think that we're going to see a lot more games come out down the line that are going to be more accessible for other people.
Yeah. YYR in chat says smartphones really have changed everything. OLR didn't mention a new big game launch this week, Candy Crush Soda Saga.
Who cares?
Well, there's a good reason for that, YYR, but I know you understand. Let's see. So that's wow, it's so interesting. Tiger Claw says, do you think people will look back and remember the zeros or the noughts, or you know, the first decade of the 2000s? Absolutely. 20 years. What has to happen when the teenagers turn 30? That's why 90s retro stuff is so big right now. The Backstreet Boys are on tour. The Spice Girls are on a reunion tour, because the 90s are hilarious again. And that will happen in the next decade. The first decade of the 21st century will be hilarious again. So, yes, it will absolutely come back. They always come in 20-year cycles, always.
It's like a boomerang.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's so much more we could say on this. In the interest of time, I'm going to move on. But just the idea that are the people that are grandparents today didn't necessarily grow up on games. Maybe some did. Maybe some. I mean, you're seeing it more and more the way we did. So I think when we're older, I think you're going to see that there is gaming that is catered to a senior generation that grew up with it. When I'm 60, 70 years old, you bet your ass I'm going to want to be catered to.
We'll have our new version of Pixel Shits. And it'll be called the Geritol Edition.
That'll be called the Don't Shit While You're Playing.
And that'll be called the Pixel Shits, you know, sponsored by Depends. So we have one more email. And it's from Warrior Bob. Hi, Warrior Bob. I miss you. And it's called Haiku Fan Mail for Episode 575.
Oh, my God. How did we miss that? This is the haiku episode, 575. Warrior Bob, this is another thing we dole out carefully. We do the dream games carefully, and these are very carefully selected as well. Warrior Bob, gold star email for that alone, for reminding us that this is a haiku episode of OLR. Thank you, Warrior
and
Bob.
I gold would star. Love if you would go back and repost this on our forums, because that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone should. All right, so, thank you. I miss you. Well, I mean, I said that, but thank you for missing me too. Anyway, congratulations. 575, that is quite a lot. In honor of that, I thought I'd send an email written in haiku. Oh, well, I guess since there aren't any nature words, it's a senryu. Hold on a second. Fuck, now how many syllables are in a senryu? Moving on. That is a shitload of shows. For some perspective, when you first started, arcades still existed, but the iPhone did not. Some video games are marketed to children younger than this show.
Why do you do that?
the episode list on the OLR wiki is like 10 feet long. 500 more shows, you'll have more shows than miles walked by the Proclaimers. Pretty freaking good for a show named after the Moba Moga guy. Anyway, you rock. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Reject false icons, Warrior Bob.
That was an amazing email. Thank you.
You're my hero now.
I know. That was so cool.
You get like a double gold star. You get the double plus good gold star.
I can't believe that I didn't. I could have done a Fugle question of the week around the haiku thing. You know I love me some haikus. Oh, man.
Haiku singular and plural. All right. Watch your grammar. Who read the Japanese games of the week.
Oh, shush. All right. Some important follow-up notes here from the chat, by the way. Some things that... you know, we had screwed up a minute ago. Okay, some folks pointing out the Earthbound convention being in Tucson, Arizona. There's a joke there. Tucson was one of the towns in Earthbound. So they are having the convention in Tucson. To which I say, well played. I see what you did there. I can't believe I didn't think of that. I give that credit to Fifth Dream.
SSJ 100 Matt said the N-Gage existed when the show started.
Oh, God.
And you know what? We had two.
Now they're gone. The N-Gage was just coming out, I think. I remember going to the E3. They had like Civilization on the N-Gage, and I was crying.
Why would you buy a phone that you can play games on? That's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. When I remember going to that E3 and busting out my N-Gage. And the guy running the poor chirpy, you know, and I mean chirpy as in crickets chirping, no one over their N-Gage area said, oh my God, someone has one. And then I sold it after E3. So, yeah. And Fifth Dream says, talking in haiku is pretty easy to do. I make it rhyme, too. YYR says, real sweet episode. Hi, Orange Lounge Radio. What is a haiku?
All right. That's going to do it for emails. I got to play this because Bobby had sent this to me saying the link is pod safe. It's the AT&T ads from the 90s that predicted everything. So going back to the email before a little bit, check this out.
Have you ever borrowed a book from thousands of miles away? Across the country.
Gesture ahead. Take next.
Without stopping for directions.
Route 101.
Or sent someone a fax. From the beach. You will. And the company that'll bring it to you, AT&T.
And there's like seven of these all together. I'm not going to play them all, but that's pretty... That commercial, by the way, from 1993. So the fact... And like you're looking at that stuff going... Wow, that's just GPS they just showed there. And that wasn't a thing that we had in 93, but we do now. The borrowing the book from 1,000 miles away. I mean, e-books is certainly a
thing.
Well,
technically, you can borrow from libraries.
Oh, and the Prime, the Amazon Prime has that whole loaning the books out. And Google Book has a lot of the old public domain books in there, right? So you can kind of do that. And then doing the fax from the beach. It might not be a fax per se, but... You kind of have something that nobody faxes anymore.
No, you'd be surprised.
It's PDFs.
Doctor's offices fax.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some. But
there's tons of people that still fax. I don't know why.
But there's an app for that. So, yes, you can do it from your iPad while sitting on the beach with Wi-Fi. That's amazing. And I guess AT&T did some of it. I mean, but that's – wow. So look at the commercials today predicting the future, because that's where we'll be in 20 years, but maybe a little differently. Maybe a little differently. Or it may not have the reception you think it was, like the video calling. That was supposed to be the norm. You video call everybody, but that's not really the way it works. All right. Anyway, good stuff. Thank you for the email bag. If you want to send us a mail for a later week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. It's time to get angry with the segment we do every week here called the FUs of the Week. You know what? In 30 years... there will still be angst.
Oh, this is bad. Here is justice. Here is punishment. Here. This is fucked up.
F you to having so much stuff. We're not fully unpacked. We need shelves. And also, the house is in really great condition, but the previous tenants had this thing for sticking sticky hooks on the wall. And I mean, they're fucking everywhere. I found sticky hooks where I didn't think sticky hooks should go. They're just everywhere. I can't. And the sticky hooks are stuck and they pull the paint with them. And I hate them. I hate them, Rob. I hate them.
So you'll fix it. Don't worry. Fix it, Jamie. You'll fix it. Or fix it, Dan.
Sticky hooks.
F you, sticky hooks. Loki.
It's F you the, you know, kids being sick.
Aw, sorry to hear that. I hope they feel better. All right, now reminding Jonas that it is almost midnight on the East Coast. Your FUs of the week, sir.
FUs to bad drivers for causing me traffic from going. Just to go to Folsom to downtown, it should only take me like 20 minutes because there's 3 accidents. It took me an hour and 30 minutes to my destination. So fuck you, bad drivers, for causing a lot of this ruckus. Fuck you to Carl's Jr. for taking 40 minutes just to get a meal done.
40 minutes for a freaking meal?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Hell no.
Well, I'll keep it, but since I'll keep my FU short, so I'm just leave it at that for now.
All right. I don't really have a serious FU of the week, so I'll just give a tongue-in-cheek FU this week. I'm gonna say an FU to the Resistance in Ingress because if you're a Smurf, I'm talking to you. You know it. Because we had all these beautiful enlightened fields. This level 14 player was in our neighborhood, and we helped. I gave him some gear, and he set up all these beautiful fields in the neighborhood of enlightenment everywhere. And, one of you Smurfs came by today and knocked it all down. So, F you to how addicting that game is. That's Ingress on the iPhone. I'm having a lot of fun playing it. And it gets me out and about. So, I say that very tongue-in-cheek. I know there's some of you that play Resistance out there that listen. But a fist shake in your direction. All right. Let's move on with a few more stories for you guys. And then we'll get to the calls at 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. Loki. Yeah.
All right. So there's some more updates regarding Tales from the Borderlands, which is, you know, Telltale Games' take on the Borderlands series. And apparently they give a little context to what the game's going to be about. I guess it revolves around two characters, Ryze, which is kind of this like Handsome Jack wannabe. Kind of looks like Handsome Jack, but obviously it's not Handsome Jack. And Fiona, who's some sort of con artist. And looks like it takes place after Borderlands 2, so it's not going to be kind of a prequel type thing. It looks pretty cool, just based off of, you know, what they were showing. I guess Zero Sum's going to be the first episode, and I'm not seeing when that's supposed to be slated. I guess maybe before the end of this, before the year's up. They're saying $20 for the season, $5 per episode. It's going to be on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC and Mac. I guess PC and Mac is going to be a little bit more expensive, $25 for the season. Looks cool. Nolan North and Troy Baker in there. So I'm down.
Nice. Very cool. All right, one more story I have for you guys on a good charity drive, and this is one, like, if you've been on the internet in the past couple of years in gaming culture, you've probably heard of this one, Desert Bus for Hope. That's right. You can visit their site, desertbus.org, and if you weren't aware, the 8th Desert Bus for Hope charity drive is underway right now, and the folks at Loading Ready Run, they actually sit down and they play Desert Bus for a long time. And if you've never heard of Desert Bus, this is an infamous game. It was from a Penn and Teller collection that was on the CDI?
What's it was Sega
was
CD.
Was it Sega CD? Oh, yeah. Shit. But it was one of those CD platforms. And Desert Bus, what you did, you drive a bus from Las Vegas to Tucson. They're going to the Earthbound convention. You're driving a bus from Las Vegas to Tucson in real time. So it's an 8-hour drive, and you drive the whole drive, and you get 1 point if you correctly do it. That's it. It's just a long stretch of desert road,
of course,
and that's it.
The bus kind of veers slightly to the right.
Yeah, so you have to correct every once in a while, or you'll drive off the road and kill everybody on the bus in a big fire, I guess. So there you go. So,
well, no, if I remember correctly, if you crash, you have to wait for a tow truck, and then you wait to get towed back. So it's even worse if you crash.
So don't crash. So if you want to check out people's playing the game and see if they're going to crash or not, and donate money to a good cause, the Child's Play charity, you can check that out again, desertbus.org. that's pretty cool. Good luck to those guys that are suffering through that game. But you know what? With all the shenanigans that go on with that and all the people on the internet that are having fun with it, is it really that much torture? No, that's how they can do it every year. So good times, good times. Congrats to all you guys doing a good thing there. All right, that does it for the news. Right now, we are going to open up the Skype line. It is time. 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you want to give us a call. I'm only going to keep this open for a little bit since we are already to midnight on the East Coast. So if you want to get in soon. Meanwhile, I believe we're going to say bye to Dark Sakura is about to go on her way out the door. She has to leave a little early tonight. Because your house sitting on top of everything else that you're doing right now, right?
I am. My friends George and Amanda went to the Disney half marathon, the Avengers half marathon thing. And so I said I would cat sit. And so I get to go take care of Coconut and Nestle.
Fun.
It's the kitty's names.
Those are cute names. All right. So have fun. And Dark Sakura, before we let you go, your final thought for tonight to leave our listeners with. That's it. A deep sigh. A deep sigh for all of you. Again, if you want to give us a call, 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. You know, I'm looking at the Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. I might need to scroll back a little more, but I am seeing some retweets and some love for Pixel Shits. And I'm seeing screenshots are hitting the internet. I'm almost thinking I need to do a Let's Play a little later. Do some streaming on Twitch TV.
Make this shits. Hashtag go.
What, Pixel Shits?
Hashtag Pixel Shit.
Hashtag Pixel
We did
shit.
It for President Cat. We can do it for Pixel Shit.
Except we actually got Pixel Shits. Anyway.
Pixel Shits Tournament.
There's still right. time. We can do President Cat.
If Joystick doesn't run an article on Pixel Shits tomorrow, we're doing something wrong, people. We're doing something wrong. All right. Again, 1-877-GAME-OLR, username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Let me check in with Loki and see if there's any last-minute stories while I look at the Twitter feed for stuff before the Pixel Shits.
I'm kind of distracted because there's still people streaming footage. Well, I'm not actually streaming it, but look at the screenshots. Footage from the next gen version of, or I'm sorry, current gen version of Grand Theft Auto 5. Oh, it looks so nice. And apparently they even had, the first person stuff's pretty crazy. Now, this is kind of funny. Say you want to take your PlayStation TV and make it portable. Well, they have a thing that you can plug it into to do that. It's called the Deca Vita 7. It's a 7-inch screen that you can plug the Vita TV into the back of it and make an even bigger PlayStation Vita. And it makes it handheld. I actually want one of these, but not for that reason. Why? Because remember, I was trying to make a second screen portable system to work with any sort of game system. And so guess what I could do with this? Because it has an HDMI in. It has, you know, power coming out of it. I can make my my system and just run it through a Cronus Max to map the controls over to, you know, the Bluetooth from a PlayStation 3 controller. And way I go. I've got a system that works, you know, second screen for Xbox 360, Xbox One, whatever I want. So I'm going to pick one of those up maybe. It's $200, though, if you're interested. It's coming out next year. So it looks kind of cool.
All right, I'm going to put a last call for calls. If you want to participate, talk about anything we've talked about tonight, or you know, bring up something maybe we didn't discuss. At least we had YYR on earlier in the show, so we got to talk to somebody on Skype tonight, if nothing else. But I will give one more chance for those calls. Loki?
And then the other thing is, if, say, you want to pick up those amiibos and stuff, but you're not sure, you know, if you want to drop all the money, apparently Nintendo has teamed up with Loot Crate to offer some sort of Loot Crate edition that's going to feature amiibo figures.
I was. It's still like $100 or something.
It's ridiculous.
Not, it's not that
and
big.
I think it's
not that great a deal.
More expensive than buying them separate. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. All right. We do have a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Azorman.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Azorman.
Azorman, what's up?
I was listening to the show earlier about the Pixel Shits.
yes, that is the game. Yeah, what would you want to say about Pixel Shits?
I was just wondering if, like, is Loki now, like, inspired to do any type of, like, you know, Pixel Shit X game for, like, Orange Lounge Radio? Or is it...
Loki, have you been inspired by Pixel Shits for your own creations that you're creating?
No, but it does remind me that, like, you know, a lot of really great games are simple, and, you know, kind of what I'm doing right now is really complicated. In fact, I, like, earlier this week, I had, you know, I'd been working on my editor to make stuff, and I'd gotten it finished to the point where all my brushes were sort of working, and I was messing around with it, but then I realized that it's not as optimized as I want it to be, and I got really frustrated and kind of said, you know, fuck, am I going to have to start over again? You know, and so I kind of contemplated that, and I may start over again on it. I just need to tweak a few things and do some stuff that I didn't want to have to do, but now I'm going to do, I guess, if that makes sense. But yeah, something like this would be fun where, you know, yeah, you could take a concept like this and make it really fast, and it's still fun. And that's, you kind of, you know, with all the games that come out nowadays with all the features and stuff, you kind of forget that, hey, you know, the stuff that you used to enjoy was actually really simple. So I don't know.
That's an awesome lesson. And I think if I was YYR, I'd be very happy to know that, you know, you kind of remind people of that, is that sometimes the silly, simple ideas are really
truly
the best.
Look at Flappy Bird. Perfect example. Flappy Bird's extremely simple game.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you could have had something like that easily, like on an Atari or something like that.
Even Minecraft. I mean, not to say Minecraft is simple, because there's definitely a very complex layer underneath it, but the concept is really basic. You know, it's moving cubes in a 3D space, essentially. Yeah, there's other things you do with it, rail cars and stuff too. But Minecraft's kind of a stupidly simple game too.
Yeah, I was looking at that as well, and then, like, it just seems that maybe something simple like that would come out, you know, with some Loki's, like, you know, I guess clanking around making these new games. Because I remember you were starting with this, like, last year, right?
I started trying to learn how to, like, program
right.
last year.
I remember the whole process. I was just wondering, like, if that soon comes up, because now this guy Aaron came out with this game. It would just be cool. Maybe, I don't know, Orange Lounge Radio, the game, should maybe come out soon, don't you think?
You know,
I've toyed with an idea like that before, but that was back when I was thinking of RPG Maker and stuff. But
our caller here is a manager in training. Look at that! Don't you think
I listen to you guys a lot, and like, I don't really speak too much with the chat, but like, it's been over a decade. It's like hearing you guys talk about this, like hearing him talk about it last year, and then like now, this like is absolutely something he's creating. I'm just like eager to like see something of it.
Yeah, and I'm eager to have something to show. And
you're slower than Duke Nukem Forever, is what the caller's trying to say.
Well, the problem is it's hard just making the engine because it's from scratch. And unfortunately, see, I was trying to keep it away from like being like a straight up voxel engine, because you know all the voxel engines out there, they have, you know, you have your voxels, you have your chunks, and you know that's how you load data and stuff. And you know, with Unity, the problem I ran into was I could put all these blocks down. But when I had my thing checking for, you know, what neighbors were next to, you know, so if I have a cube next to a cube, I don't draw the sides that are, you know, hidden basically in the geometry. But those checks were taking so long. Once I got a lot of, you know, blocks on the screen, you know, I'd put one down and I'd wait a few seconds before it unlocked again. And that's the problem, is I have to find a more efficient way to do that. And so I'm probably going to have to create some sort of chunk system in order to get that to work, so that it's not, looking for
stuff. I apologize if you may have a blog or anything on, like, of like your
is his blog.
Yeah, that's the other thing, okay. Too. Yeah, I need to create a dev blog, because I have a website now, but
I
haven't
do some development stuff done as well, and it's just like, I don't know, I'm wondering.
The Loki game is going to end up like Titan. He's going to work on it for 7 years and then throw it all out and be like, I should have just made Team Fortress 2.
No.
All right, going to the chat, because you know the chat room is having a field day with this. Bobby Blackwolf saying, Loki game is vaporware. Akuma JP, Loki forever. ActDeft, Loki ghost.
I have stuff. I posted images from the editor the other – it was like last week, I think.
We're eagerly awaiting it. Maybe YYR can do some consulting with you for a small fee.
Yeah. All right. It's just figuring it out. But I learned – see, that's the thing, though, is I learned based on, you know, you do it wrong and then you learn the right way to do it. That's
right.
Chatters, let's start taking bets. What will we see first, Loki's game or Half-Life 3? What will we see first?
That's so wrong.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. Anytime can razz Loki out of a call, I appreciate it. And I really appreciate the support. A decade of listening to the show. That's amazing. You rock.
Good. Thank you a lot.
All right. Take care, my friend. All righty. 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you'd like to give us a call. I'll leave it open for just a little bit. Did you have any other last-minute stories here?
I forgot that this is actually a VCD. This isn't even a DVD.
Oh, the thing that you loaned Jamie that she brought back?
She could have kept it. I don't even want it anymore.
Tell Liz, what is this? She found some...
I don't remember what it was.
Para-para dance. It's a VCD, which means the resolution on it's going to be shitty. That's like 300x200. What is it? It's just like concert?
VCDs are like disc versions of VHS. They're crap. No, it was, if I remember correct, I don't remember what it's about, to be honest. It was...
Well, let's be real. The plot probably wasn't important.
It's about, obviously, para-para. I just don't remember why I bought it, because I thought it was funny for a reason. You know, that's why I bought it, but I don't know.
All right. Well, it looks like the phones aren't lighting up, so I'm going to go ahead and close up down the phone so we can wrap up the show for the night. Jonas, thanks for joining us. Sorry we didn't get to talk to you more tonight, but you know, when an OLR Dream game gets released, it's kind of... But I'm glad you could be here for the unveiling of Pixel Shits.
That's going to be a holy shit moment.
tell us a little more once again. What can we expect T-Bagger, the big anime game room, to be up to, and what cons are you going to next?
We are actually going to be starting to do some streaming like at random days now, so...
Nice.
Because we had a streaming on Friday, like for doing just random games, to show that we just play other games outside of the common games. Because there's a bunch of games out there, but we're not going to just keep playing the same 10 games over and over and over.
Right. That's good to show a little bit of variety.
I mean, hey, and we could probably do a pixel shit stream.
I'm telling you, I want everybody within the sound of my voice to do a Twitch TV stream for Pixel Shits.
Come on,
this week. It'll take you 15 minutes.
Even though I don't really follow it too much anymore, can we get like, you know, maybe Pixel Shits and Omegathon or something like that? Because that'd be awesome.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's something new we're adding to the plate and stuff.
All right. Where can folks find your Twitch channel if they want to check that out?
Oh, twitch.tv/TBAGR_TV.
Okay. TBAGR_TV. Awesome. I'll make sure I friend you on Twitch because I'm not sure you're my friend yet. Or follow or whatever it's called.
And also, because YouTube can do 60 frames a second videos nowadays, we're planning on doing videos that are going to be 60 frames a second at 1080p.
Nice.
We're starting it right now with the Pump It Up videos.
Nice.
Which I still need to finish.
All right. So. Congrats once again on your amazing show. I mean, second place in the U.S. for Pump It Up's freestyle. That blows my mind. You're like one of those StarCraft all-stars that I saw at Blizzard last week, except you play with your feet. You're a dancer. All right. Too bad it's a radio show and we can't make you show everybody your moves. So I guess
no problem.
All right.
The videos will be on YouTube.
All right. Sounds good.
Shortly, hopefully this week.
Sounds good. Do you have a final thought for our listeners tonight?
Oh, it's great to be back again.
That's good to have you.
And finally not actually have too much on my mind, just a competition. And I was like, okay, good. I can go back playing video games again.
You can just take it easy. That's right. You know what? A lot of the like big stuff I had going on in my life is finally like calmed down. And so, yeah, I'm starting to get weekends where I'm like, all right, I get to play video games. And with Thanksgiving coming up, that's going to be a huge catch-up weekend for me. I'm so excited. You don't even know. That'll be the weekend that finally I get suckered into going back to WoW. Just wait for it. All right, let's see. I want to thank you guys so much for downloading our show and checking us out. Thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you like the show, you know, always say, tell a friend or two or five about the show. Help spread the word, because that's all we got. We don't have some huge website backing us. I don't have the money to throw to rent a hall in Vegas and try to find some sponsors. I'd love it if we did, but we don't. We really rely on your word of mouth. That's all we ask. So thank you, guys. Let's get the last final thoughts here. Loki, your final thought tonight.
A couple things. First off, Grand Theft Auto looks awesome. Second thing, apparently Far Cry 4, you may not see the PC reviews on or soon because they have not given codes to anybody that's reviewing the game because there's going to be a day one patch. And it won't be up until Monday. And so, same thing happened with Unity.
Interesting.
Just giving you a warning. Although on console, though, apparently really good. So hopefully okay. that's still the case on PC, but right. buyer beware.
Interesting. All right, and my final thought is, you know, I just every week I'm so humbled by the support you guys give us. I mean, from the fan games created by something someone said off the cusp to the fact that some of you have literally grown up with the show, listening for over a decade. I'm so humbled, and thank you guys so much. And, you know, to kind of build on that email we got earlier, you know, gaming and the culture and everything, even when there's stuff that pisses us off. And this year there's been a lot of stuff that got really heated. Let's put it that way. Even when a lot of that stuff is going on, you know, at the end of the day, this gaming culture and everything, this is stuff that's in my blood. And I'm so happy and fortunate to have this place to lend my voice every week. And the fact that even one of you listens and gives a shit means so much. So, you know, we're going to keep doing it. The idea that I'm going to have 5 more podcasts in 50 years, probably not too far from the truth. So that's it. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.